Mary and Joe to chime in. Are we ready?
Yep, that's fine.
Okay, great. I always know you're ready, Catherine. So I will start the meeting then. I am calling this South End Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 5:30 p.m. on July 7th, 2020. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link in our agenda posted online at https://us02web.zoom.us/i/860494-55630 or by calling 929-205-6099 and entering meeting ID 860-4945-5630 pound. You can also submit comments by email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter at Boston Landmarks. Today, the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications. In accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online. To ensure public access to the deliberations of the South End Landmarks District Commission, the public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks and using the hashtag #SEJuly7Hearing. We will repeat these instructions during the public comment period for each application. And we will go to the design review hearing now. We're good. So we're gonna go to the first application, which is now application 20.1082, which is 22 Braddock Park. And that is, the proposed work is at the front facade, all levels, replace 8 curved sash windows in kind and install new window grills at the basement level. At the garden level entrance, replace entry door in kind, construct a roof deck with skylight access and install new fencing at the front yard. At the rear facade, rebuild the rear wall, including the cornice line.
Excuse me, John.
Yeah.
Mary, should we, somebody describe what's happening with 5-6-6 Columbus?
So I think, John, actually we have to look at 566 Columbus first.
We do, even though it's been...
No, it's still on the agenda.
Okay. I'm sorry, then I jumped
that's
the gun.
Okay.
It was unclear to me. I thought it was withdrawn.
No, so, I'm sorry. That was my mistake. It was crossed out, but only part of it was. So that was my error. I'm sorry. So we do need to look at that one first.
Okay. So I will hand it over to John Freeman.
Okay.
To lead the meeting for application 20.872, 566 Columbus Avenue, for which I need to recuse myself.
Okay.
Thank you, John. And I'll just add that for the record that it's actually application number 827. That was a typo in the agenda. So I'm sorry about that.
Whoops.
Okay. My fault.
John, okay. How do you want to be called back?
It's
only going to be a couple minutes, I'm afraid.
You can text me, okay. Or one of you can text me, and that'll be fine.
Okay.
I will now mute myself.
Thank you, John.
Mary, do you want me to explain where we are, or would you like to do it? Or what happened, essentially?
John, if you're willing to do that, that would be great.
I'm happy to do it.
Thank you.
Okay. For everyone who's here for this, for 566 Columbus Avenue, I know We have received, again, a lot of public comment. We've also received a petition. What has happened, unfortunately, though, is that we have two commissioners who are recusing themselves. We also have a commissioner that is sick, and we have two open vacancies on the commission, which means that the only people here from the commission are the three people who sat on the subcommittee, which is myself, David Shepherd, and Catherine Hunt. The subcommittee was empowered to review the building, but was not empowered to vote. To bring it back to the commission, the subcommittee had to bring back recommendations to the commission to go ahead with that. And since, unfortunately, the only members of the commission here were the subcommittee, we effectively have no commission to bring it back to. The powers that be put their heads together this afternoon and decided that we could not, and all due respect and faith, there all of a sudden change hats and say that we are now the commission, and that the only thing that we could do was continue this to a special hearing, which will be set up quickly. So what I would not like to ask to do is ask one of the commissioners to make a motion to continue this for a special hearing.
I'll make that motion. I move that we continue this application to a special hearing.
Do I hear a second? David, can you second it?
Second.
Thank you. We have decided, or it was decided, that we would not take public comment for this because the subcommittee has already heard eight hours of public testimony, and it was decided that it was not in the best interest of the other applicants tonight. So I apologize, or we who are here apologize to everybody who's here to hear this hearing. Please hold your thoughts. Please come back, and you will be notified of a special meeting. This is an unusual situation. It's the first time it's ever happened since I've been on the commission, which is over 20 years. So I will call for a vote. All in favor of continuing this to the special hearing?
Aye.
And David. And I vote with the motion. So the motion is passed, and we can move on to the next item on our agenda. Mary or Joe, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay, thank you.
I'll just add that the next hearing will be advertised accordingly, and we'll try to get that on the agenda as quickly as possible. Try to get it on the calendar as quickly as possible.
Is that a voting meeting?
Yes.
A quorum of commissioners.
Yeah.
I see.
Is it a public meeting?
Yes.
Okay, shall we get John Amadeo back?
I just texted him.
Oh, great.
He's probably going to be surprised.
I think he was aware.
Okay, I think I'm back. I'm back vocally. Hold on, start video. Okay, here we are. I'm back. So, okay. Would you like me to go back to the script and just recall the next agenda item?
Yes, that would be great, John. Thank
okay.
you.
So the next agenda item will be 20.1082, 22 Braddock Park. I've already read the scope of work for that. So do we have an applicant available for that?
Yes.
Great. Please give us your name for the record, and then you can tell us what you're proposing.
So my name is Steve Stefanoff. I work at Kennard Architects. We are the architect for 22 Braddock Park. We are proposing to replace all the windows on the front facade in kind. If you go to the next slide, we've documented the existing conditions of those windows as 2/2 windows, curved sash at the bay, and they were straight sash at the flat part. If you want to keep going, second floor, and then first floor, and then if you follow one more slide, we documented the existing damage and issues with the existing windows. There's a lot of warping and water damage from the house being not taken care of or maintained properly over the years. And we are looking to fully replace these windows with something that will keep the look and feel of the neighborhood, but also perform well for the house. Let me go to the next slide. Some more pictures. And another one. We would like to restore the front door. There's some damage, cracking to the corners, some splitting on the rails, and a bunch of buildup of gunk around the window panes. So we would like to replace that in kind.
So that's actually on administrative review. We don't have to discuss that.
Okay. At the front staircase, we would like to replace the side door with a new door and put in a new security gate. And then remove the existing chain link fence and put in a new fence that I have a slide in here later showing that design, as well as removing the window grills and putting in new ones. Next slide. At the roof, we're proposing a roof deck with a skylight access. It'll have a black metal handrail or guardrail, similar to the one in the photo. Next slide, please. These are details of the windows, new window construction. And then this is the proposed window grills and new fence painted black. I think that's it.
Can you go back to the, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, can I jump in and ask questions?
Yes, please.
Can you go back to the pictures of the windows, the detail pictures? Thank you. Wherever you want, it's fine. Can you talk a little bit more about why these can't be restored?
Yes. We had two people come and look at them. One was a historic restoration, preservation carpenter who had looked at these windows, and he had said that the windows had extensive sorry, I look at my notes. Extensive rot and water damage, causing them to have warped and not the frames to warp and made it not possible to restore.
Can you show us some pictures and tell us what we're seeing?
Yep. So if you look on the slide that's up, window B on the fourth floor, you can see how the bottom rail is warped from the frame, and you could actually see daylight coming through at the bottom.
Okay. Move on. Can you just sort of go through it and zoom in on them? Because this is what, just so you understand, the windows are one of the most, if that's the right word, character defining elements of a row house building. And our regulations make it very strongly preferred to restore rather than replace windows. And it's a very high bar to meet to show that windows cannot be restored.
Can I just add that that is especially true for curved sash, because so much of the curved sash window formations have been lost over the years, and wherever they do exist as original curved sash, we are told in the regulations that they need to be restored as a high priority versus replaced. And the burden of proof is on the applicant to prove that they cannot be restored.
Mary, have you seen these in person?
I have not been inside to inspect them in person. Normally I would, but given the pandemic situation, I have not gone. They did submit, two letters. I was not able to do my due diligence ahead of time and call the restoration specialist to verify. That is something that I would like to do before any sort of approval for this is considered. Mm-hmm. Looking at the photos, it looks like a lot of the rot is confined to, and I'm just going to some more detailed pictures here. It looks like it's a lot of the frame and sills, and not necessarily the windows, the window itself, although there are some areas of rot here, but I'm just not entirely convinced yet that these can't be restored. I see that many of them are warped, but it's hard to tell if they're actually warped or if they just need to be rehung.
Thank you. Well, why don't we look at everything else then and come back to that, if that's all right, John?
Can I just ask a couple more questions about the windows?
David?
I just want to confirm, are they single pane currently?
They are single pane.
And they have weights and pulleys?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so there's no reason to believe that they're not original.
They're probably original.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, good question, David. I have a question for Mary. Do we have Fabian tonight?
We don't.
Okay, so it's just John, Catherine, David, and myself.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not overlooking somebody when I'm asking for questions or comments. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Catherine, do you have any questions on the windows before we go to another item? Okay.
No, thank you.
Sure. Okay, let's go to the one of the next items then. Is it the door beneath the stoop? Mary? The door to the building is administrative?
No, so the double entry doors at the stoop are administrative, but the replacement of a garden level entry is design review, because it looks to me like this is an original door as well.
Okay. But the one above the stoop you're taking care of administratively?
Correct, because they're being restored.
Okay, great. Can you talk a little bit about why you're proposing a replacement for this door?
It was just pretty worn. It had some hardware sets that were put on it and taken off, so it looked patched up. So we were looking to put a new door in to look a little better.
Do you have any photographs of that damage?
I do not.
Patchwork hardware. Yeah, it's difficult for us to review and comment on things that we can't actually see. I think you know, we hold the same standard to any original material as we described for the windows. If something is restorable versus needing to be replaced, restoration and repair is preferable over replacement, particularly if it appears to be original, as staff has advised us. We may need to either have you present more information about why it can't be repaired, or we, in the absence of that information, probably ask you to repair it rather than replace it.
Yeah, I think we could probably restore it or repair it if that's a major issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you want to talk about the grills at the window and this below stoop door, garden
sure.
entry door?
Yep. So we were looking at putting in grills at the first floor level and the security gate at the door into the stoop. I believe the last page has pictures of what we were looking to put in there. And they're similar to other houses on the street.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for your needing to replace them?
The front gate is a chain link fence, so wanted to get rid of that.
Oh, I wasn't talking about gate around the garden. I was talking about the grill to the door under the stoop and the grills at the two windows. Is there a reason that you are proposing to replace those?
We're looking to go with something that was also similar to on the street rather than these window grates or security grates that have like the window box out for the AC.
Mm-hmm. So it's a stylistic preference. It's not that these are not functioning.
Correct. Well, I haven't tried to open them, but
okay.
It had basically an AC that was already in it that, you know, we're looking to get rid of because that wouldn't have been original. And you know, trying to replace it with something that's similar on the street, basically. So style and a look.
Okay. Before I say anything else, I'll ask for questions from other commissioners. Catherine, do you have any questions about these items, the grills and gate at the door?
Yes. Steve, I think you said grills on the first floor windows, but you're talking about the garden level, right?
No. So the street level first floor is that side entry under the stoop. The garden level is accessed by the rear of the property. It's fully below grade at the street level.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have said, yeah, street level. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Street level.
And you're not doing anything with those windows above, which is either first floor or second floor, however you look at it, right?
We were just looking to remove those grills and not have anything there. So no grills at the first or second floor.
And then just, thank you. And then just one more quick question. On the street level windows, the window to the right, is that the one that has the air conditioning part cut out of it? It was hard to see through the fence.
That's correct.
You can sort of see it behind the chain link.
There. Yeah, yeah, you can. So I see. I wanted to understand why you wanted to get rid of that. I got it. Okay, thank you.
Any comments from, questions, I mean, John, from you, John, questions? John Freeman, unmute.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was muted. I just had one other question. Do you have a picture in here of some of the other grills on the street, security grills that you're trying to match?
Yeah, so on the last page, right there, it might be hard to see in this picture on the computer, but they're similar to also those pieces that we had pulled, but that's it. At 35 Bryder Park, that's the window grill.
That looks like a relatively contemporary one, but nicely done.
Yeah, it does. And the same is being proposed, or something similar is being proposed for the security gate at the door below the stoop?
Yes. Yeah, taking that same language and using it for the security gate.
So am I to believe then that the drawings you're showing in elevation and details 5 and 6, that those finials are actually round in section? If you were to cut a horizontal section through those finials, they're circular? They're not flat, are they?
No, they're not flat. They're okay. Trying to remember. I think they're circular. They might be. Yeah, I think they're circular.
Okay, but they're so. But in any case, they're not flat.
Correct. They wouldn't be flat.
There's depth to them,
yes.
including the design element at the midpoint of the yes. vertical pickets.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm just trying to understand what you're proposing. Mm-hmm. So you're saying those balusters are actually square? It says 5/8 inch square, iron square baluster.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're square then. I couldn't remember if they're square or round, but it's a square baluster.
Okay. At the midpoint, are those solid forms in the middle, or are they like open, you know, sort of outlined by metal?
They're open. They're open, outlined by metal.
Okay.
Is the image the second from the left? Is that what we're seeing?
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
And so the finial is flat, and that's the
finial is flat.
Does the finial have the fleur-de-lis, whatever you call the
fleur-de-lis?
Yeah, I couldn't get that out. So the finial that we're seeing on the left is the actual finial, not like in the drawing, or is
yeah,
it more like in the drawing?
The finial on the far left bottom. That's shown that looks like a fleur-de-lis arrowhead?
Yes.
That is the finial at the top and bottom of the grills? Is that what you're proposing?
Yes.
Okay. So I think, Mary, could I ask you to zoom into the photograph on the upper left? Because that may help us if that, in fact, is the model. I know it'll get a little grainy. But
it's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. Yeah. But it looks like that fleur-de-lis sort of arrowhead shape at the top and the bottom. The picket is different because it doesn't have that midpoint that opens out, or maybe that's only for the door. Is that only for the door? I've already forgotten the detail.
No, it was on the windows as well.
It was on the windows as well.
Yeah.
So you're just using that picket, that second from the left in the bottom detail. But you're using the finial from this window.
That's correct.
From the neighbor's window. Okay. That helps me understand what you're proposing. Catherine, do you have any questions about that? I've already asked you, right?
Yeah, you did.
And I've got to go to David. David, do you have questions about these grills?
No questions.
Okay. So then is your proposal for the garden fence the in a similar vein in that you're proposing that large finial post at the corners, and then what is that, the picket to the left of that, that you're proposing as the individual pickets?
That is correct.
Leading up to the corners. And what are you proposing as the rail that connects them?
It's
the
a
top quarter, and bottom rail.
It's a quarter inch thick by 2 inch wide iron top rail and bottom rail.
Okay. Oh yeah, I see it in your detail. It's labeled in your detail. And it is again modeled on a neighbor's garden that 19 Braddock Park
correct.
Has.
Yep, correct. That's similar to theirs.
Similar to theirs, except that I think you're showing your pickets projecting above the top rail.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
Is that legal?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure it is. You may have to check into the codes for that, Steve, because I thought that there were impaling concerns about pickets that project up. Unless they are sufficiently dulled at the top, and I can't recall what the tops of your pickets look like. Can we zoom back out, Mary, or move over?
They're rounded.
They're rounded. I think if they're rounded, it's probably okay, John.
Okay.
Okay, as long as they're not pointed.
Inch engage? Does it engage right on that midsection? And how, I mean, physically, how is it done? Is it all welded together in one spot, or is there a way that they fit together, or do you know?
Yeah, do they go through the top rail and bottom rail?
I'd have to think about that.
Because that would be difficult.
Yeah.
I don't know is a fair answer. We're not going to hold you to
right.
Yeah, we were hoping to talk with a metalsmith about how that would actually come together. You know, we found this.
Are you asking for shop drawings?
We would ask for shop drawings,
we,
yes.
We would definitely want to see those.
The metalsmith may advise you, Steve, to keep the picket within the top rail and bottom rail. And at which point we would probably ask you to raise the top rail and lower the bottom rail. But, you know, just be aware that they may not be able to fabricate what you've drawn.
Right.
But whatever they do, whatever they tell you, if it's any different than what we're looking at, you'll need to bring a more detailed drawing back to staff for staff review.
Sure.
John, I think to move ahead, what we could do is approve this in concept. Because I don't have a problem with any of it, it's just a question of the details.
Sure.
And then
I agree.
Okay.
I do have one question though. Are you proposing a gate at the walkway into the garden?
No, the fence actually returns back and leaves a pathway between the stoop and the front garden. That allows you to go without a gate.
Okay. Good answer. So, great. That makes that easy. Go ahead, David. Did you have a comment?
Yeah. Can we go back to the other diagram with the chain link, the picture with the chain link fence?
Mm-hmm.
So, is the footprint going to be the same for this?
It's slightly different. So it would start at the building like the existing chain link fence, come out towards the street, then it returns towards the stoop, but it'll stop at where that concrete curb stops, and then it returns back to the house along that concrete curb.
So you're outlining three sides of the
correct.
Garden? Okay. Sorry, David, keep going.
And would there be balusters on the ends on each corner, including next to the house?
Meaning the larger posts?
Yeah.
Newels is, I think.
Newels.
Newel post, right.
Sorry.
Thank you, John. We're all missing our vocabulary tonight.
I blame it on COVID.
Yeah. Yes, we would have Newell's at all the corner intersections.
And the end.
And the end. End
points. Okay.
And there would be no entry point into the garden.
That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, so how do you get into the garden?
It should be short enough that you could step over.
Well, what is the height that you're proposing?
Good question.
Was it on your detail? I didn't read it.
The dimensions are kind of small. It's a little over 30 inches tall.
From the top of curb to the top of post?
Top of curb to top of post, yeah.
Okay, 30 inches.
What does it say on the left there? It looks like it says 5 feet, 2 inches, verify and field.
That's the window, security window.
Oh, that's the window one.
The garden fence is at the top, and there really is no vertical dimension that I see drawn there. Okay.
But so, 30 inches would be appropriate, right, John?
It would be. Okay, would be the high side of appropriate. You could go 24 inches, but you could go 30 inches. And it's up to the, are there current occupants of the building or owners?
There's owners, but the building's been vacant for some time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as they feel that they can maintain it, unless you want to, it's not uncommon for the rail on the path side to the door below the stoop to terminate short of the building so that it provides you access to the garden. So you wouldn't necessarily have to bring the rail all the way to the building corner, building face. You could yep. terminate it, 3 feet short of the building or something like that to allow for access.
Yeah.
I think a plan depicting that along with, more detailed shops of the rails would be appropriate to go to staff. And it may be that the curb intersects the bow at a point where you wouldn't want to put a newel post right up against the building, like perhaps at the window or close to the edge of the window. Do you know what I mean? Could you go back to that photograph of your actual building, Mary? I mean, fortunately, the curb doesn't intersect the window, but it still might be a little bit awkward if it did, if the newel post were right there. So I think David brought up a good line of questioning. So something for commissioners to consider that we approve as an element to approve. So
it does intersect. If you go back to I don't know what page it is, the one that has the double stoop, the two pictures of the double stoop.
Yeah, the left, far left picture.
Yeah, you can see
it does
there.
Intersect the window. Yeah.
So you would want to hold it off.
Yeah. You would want to pull it off. Yeah, Steve, you wouldn't want to put your newel post right in front of the window.
Yeah, that'd make sense, holding it off.
Yeah. So, and it wouldn't be uncommon. That's a fairly common detail within the district. Because that condition exists at a lot of houses. So that's great. So I think we've more or less covered that. I think we go to the roof deck. And is the rear wall something we're discussing tonight, or is that administrative?
So the rear wall is, I put it on the agenda because it is visible and they are working above the cornice line. It's just a tiny little bit of the cornice line, but Stephen, you're just rebuilding that as is, correct?
Correct. We would replace it as is.
Okay. So I think that's fine. I think that so can the, go to
the cornice detail you would replace as originally designed.
Yes.
So if there's brick corbelling or dental work or anything like that, that would all get replaced as is.
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
So I think as long as that's just replaced in kind, that could be moved to administrative review.
Okay, great. So then we talk about the roof deck, and Mary, were you able to assess visibility? Was there a mock-up done?
Yes, there was. So it's in your staff comments.
Thank you.
I was not able to see any part of the mock-up in the front of the building, but there were some trees in the way. So I can't say 100% certainty that you can't see it over the front of the building. From the rear, though, you can see it from multiple areas along the Southwest Corridor, West Newton Street, and then a public alley that intersects that block, which is considered a public way. So I did include some pictures of the mock-up. It looks like it's fairly close. You know, I'm not really sure if pushing it back at the rear would necessarily make it less visible, or enough so that it's, you know, significant. But I think that might be something that you either remand to me or remand to a subcommittee. I think given the amount of visibility, it would be better to do a subcommittee.
Mm-hmm. Mary, are the two photos you showed of the mock-up, can you just tell us from what locations the left and the right photo are taken?
Sure. So the left photo, if you're looking towards the roof deck at an oblique right angle, that photograph is taken at the point of West Newton Street, the Southwest Corridor.
Yeah,
at West Newton Street. And then the other photograph that's looking at the mock-up obliquely to the left is taken from the public alley that intersects with West Newton Street.
Okay.
I'm a little confused. I'm looking at the pictures. I see the other roof deck, but I don't see the mock-up.
Do you mean West Newton Street, or do you mean the alley that runs behind the building?
Just give me one second. I'm just
pulling
up.
Oh, it's the two posts?
The two posts.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
They're visible, right?
Yeah. That's why I was looking for a little yellow line just above the parapet or something. Do you think that a subcommittee could make this not visible or
less visible?
Less visible.
Might be able to make it less visible. I think it's going to be visible no matter what.
I think.
Steve, I have a question. At which point does one enter the roof deck from the hatch staircase?
Yes. So from the skylight. It's the it's the one that has the label that says slide, and you would enter towards the rear of the property.
The rear of the property being to the left on that plan?
Correct, the left on the plan.
So,
and this is a flat skylight. How tall? How much above the deck is it?
It would be under 30 inches.
Do you have that detail, A4-14A4.1?
I don't have it in that package. No.
That's right.
I'm going to just pull up Google Maps so you can get a sense of the visibility.
Also, while she's doing that, Stephen, do you have, is there, a possibility at all to reverse the access so that it were to access toward the front of the building?
No, not it wouldn't be able to do that because of the way the stair works out. The stairway goes all the way from the basement level all the way up to the fourth floor, and then from the fourth floor up to the roof and turns 90 degrees.
Sure.
And
what are you thinking, John?
Well, it's just that if you're working from the back of the building as a subcommittee and you're trying to move the rail farther away from the back of the building, if you weren't accessing the roof from the hatch toward the rear, you have a little bit more leeway.
So I would I just want to add here. So here is the area that we're looking at. So here is 22 Braddock Park. So the photos that I took were from around this area and this area in the public alley. I will add that there is a change in grade here.
Yeah.
This is more uphill than at 22 Braddock Park. So I don't necessarily think that pushing the railings back would decrease the visibility due to this change in grade.
Yeah, because you're so high up. Yeah. You're going to see it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Right where your cursor is, looks like a roof deck. You moved it to the right there and to the right.
Yeah.
To the right.
And we can see those roof decks.
I don't know. I don't know if these were approved roof decks. That's something that I would have to look at. I will say that it's iron railings. That's consistent with what we have approved.
So if there were to be a subcommittee, it would probably be a good idea to check into those and see if we had approved them. Mm-hmm. And you're saying it's also visible from the intersection of Public Alley 539 and West Newton Street.
Yeah. And all along this public alley. And this is considered a public way.
Right. So the roof deck would be visible from there.
Right.
Okay. So that's helpful to see the plan.
It's sounding like we need a subcommittee for almost everything here.
Yeah.
Or rather have Mary go look at it first and tell us if we, you know, if that's the easier thing to do before trying to convene a subcommittee on site.
Except Mary's already seen it.
Yeah, she hasn't
seen the windows.
Oh, yeah. No, you haven't seen the windows, though. So it would be good for Mary to see the windows. But Mary was not able to fully evaluate the visibility of the roof deck from the front. Is that right, Mary?
Yeah, so there was foliage in the way.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't look like you could see it, but it was hard to determine.
Right. Is it possible to Stephen, I'm talking to you now. Is it possible for you to identify where the roof deck on the adjacent building is relative to yours, both the front and the back rail? Like, could you expand your plan view to include that adjacent roof or at least part of it, just to indicate where the railings of that roof deck land? Because if we do or don't see visibility of those rails, it may help determine, you know, how we can make a decision on your roof deck.
Yeah, we can figure out where those are in relation to our deck.
Yeah, and if the one two to the left of yours, even if you can't expand your drawing that far, if you could just draw guidelines over, mm-hmm. if you can like estimate where those front and back rails land in relationship to yours and just have like a guideline indicator.
Sure.
And then that would be helpful as reference points.
Okay.
Does anybody have further questions about the roof deck or want to comment further before we perhaps decide to form a subcommittee to address that? And John, were you suggesting that there be a subcommittee that addresses any of the outstanding issues on the application, whether it be windows or railings or roof deck?
Sorry, I was muted again.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I think there's two easy approaches. Have Mary go look at it and decide what's important, or just convene a subcommittee and have the subcommittee do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, Mary has to go look at it.
Right. So then I would recommend that we establish a subcommittee now to be handy in the wings, depending on the outcome of Mary's visit.
Can I ask a question before we do that?
Sure.
Am I correct in remembering that Mary was unable to hear from a preservation person about the windows, whether or not they could be restored, or did I not hear that correctly?
So they have submitted two letters. I did not call the two window consultants to verify.
Okay, gotcha. And but the letter, what did the letters say, Mary?
So the letters both said that the windows could not be restored, but they didn't list why.
Okay, thank you. So John, we're saying that Mary's going to look at the windows also, along with these other components?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I'm not sure which John you were asking, but I'll answer for both Johns. And John can...
That works for me.
Works for me.
Okay. And
I just wanted to say that...
Go ahead. Mary is going to follow up with the people who wrote the letters. Mary will follow up with them. She just hadn't been able to yet.
I just wanted to compliment Steve that it's great that that cyclone fence is coming down. Thank you. That's fantastic. And you're getting rid of a gate situation, which will make some people very happy. So thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the work that's being done here is really good work. And, you know, we're picking at the details because that's what our job is. But, you know, certainly the restoration of this building is very much appreciated. So we don't want you to get the wrong idea and feel discouraged at all by the line of comments that are coming.
So I think we should continue this for more information. Let Mary talk to the window people and then decide whether to convene the subcommittee or not. Remand it to staff, or what would you like, Mary?
Well, I think there's a couple issues here. You know, as far as the windows, I am happy to go take a look at them in person. However, I think that the roof deck definitely needs a subcommittee just because of how visible it is. But if you are open to it, I am happy to go and take a look at the windows first. And I can take some more pictures of the mock-up from the front and the rear to maybe get a better sense of what the actual visibility is.
Right.
And then we could continue it to the next hearing.
Right. And also, Mary, if you're doing that, I would recommend taking photographs of the adjacent buildings that also mm-hmm. have roof decks, both from mm-hmm. the front and the rear, to see if, you know, what is visible or not on those mm-hmm. buildings. And then also to find out whether those were approved roof decks or not.
Yeah.
And then that may then inform the decision as whether we need to convene a subcommittee.
So would the motion be to remand this to staff?
Well, but it would be a continuation, right?
Okay. I'll make a motion to continue as...
Yeah. Go ahead, Catherine.
Catherine? But I think, yes, thank you. I think we wanted to approve in concept the design of the grills and the fence, correct?
Amendment accepted.
And the details will be submitted to staff, including the termination point of that one section of fence going toward the window, correct?
And the shop drawings. Amendment accepted.
Okay. Sure, of course. Okay, thank you.
Do we want to establish a subcommittee now, or do you want that to wait until Mary determines if one is needed?
Let's wait, because if she needs help with the windows, that kind of falls on me.
But yeah, good idea.
but if she doesn't, I'd be happy to let others look at the other issues.
Okay, sounds good. So I believe Go ahead. So we have a motion and Catherine just seconded. Sorry to cut you off, Catherine.
That's okay.
And then I will need to ask for public comment by reading from the script. So I'm going to do that now. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand. Or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle at Boston Landmarks with the hashtag #SEJuly7Hearing. Each person will have 2 minutes. And Mary and or Joe, do we have public interested in commenting?
Right now, I do not see anyone raising their hand. Mary, did you receive anything by email or?
Checking right now.
So far, I know we haven't waited the 2 minutes yet, but so far there hasn't been anything via Twitter or email for public comments.
Oh, thank you, Gabby. Joe, do we need to wait 2 minutes before we move on?
No, I started the clock white once you started your script, so I think we're good.
We're good?
Yes.
So if there isn't any, then I'll go to a vote and I'll call out names. So Catherine?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. And Stephen, I hope you understand the motion, and you can, if you have any further questions, you can contact Mary and she'll help you through it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Steve.
Sure. And we're going to go to the next. For some reason, I'm not able to access my screen. You've hogged my whole screen, Mary.
I did.
Dear. You went to full screen and I can't get to my script.
It's at top right, next to speaker view.
Oh, exit full screen.
Yep.
Okay, great. So that didn't change anything. Top right.
You might have to minimize your Zoom window, John.
And I'm trying to figure out how I do that. There. I'm not getting the toolbar that would allow me to minimize. I'm not sure how that happened.
John, if you float your cursor up around in the right top right hand, does it bring down?
It's not doing anything. Yeah.
Not doing it?
Nope.
So full annoying, huh?
Full screen just seems to have taken over.
And one of us read it for him.
Yeah. No, I can go to my iPhone and read from there. I just didn't have it handy, but I'll make it handy. On my iPhone. It'll just take a second, it's opening now. Okay, so I have that, sorry for that hiccup. And the next application is 20.662 23 Upton Street. That's correct, right, Mary?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. And the work there is to construct a head house and roof deck. And we have the presentation on the screen. Do we have somebody from the applicant to present?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Drew, hi. I'm an intern, and we have Rick, who's the architect at Next Phase Studios.
Yeah, Rick Ames, Next Phase Studios.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, John.
And
welcome.
Welcome. Are there two people from the applicant, Rick, and do you have somebody else with you?
Or is it just you? The owner is online, Jim Heffernan, and an intern from my office is listening in.
Okay, great. So feel free to present then.
23 Upton is a house overdue for rehab and redevelopment. This one may be well known to the commission in that there was a collapse in the rear wall over the course of the winter. And so the house is essentially going to go through full rebuild on structural in the rear and redevelopment of the interiors. And as part of that, we're proposing a roof deck and a pilot house to access it. We have done the geometry and need to hear from Mary, but we're pretty confident that it is not visible from the public way. We are proposing a pilot house in that it isn't, we do believe it's not visible, and we also believe it's a significantly safer access to a roof deck than a hatch with a tray full of food. So we're providing a, you know, we're proposing that this has a full stair access up onto the roof deck level. And you can see the mock-up here, which shows the rail height and the pilot house behind it. I don't know if Mary, you want to move forward in what's, I think some of this is, you know, existing documentation. I'm not exactly sure. I think we're coming back around to the facade at the end of the meeting.
So the facade work is actually administrative review. So the only thing that you have to talk about is the rooftop additions.
Okay. I wasn't sure why it had been split into two mm-hmm. components. But so if you, you know, this is the what was existing, the rear facade has, and the bay window, all of that is gone. There is no rear facade. It collapsed and took part of 25 with it. And has been shored up structurally and is, you know, we're right in the beginning of trying to rebuild it. I don't know, Mary, if you want to go forward, this is, you know, so the rear facade, that's what it did look like. we're modifying it slightly. And then you can see the two proposed, you can see the roof pilot house. It has been through zoning. It meets zoning requirements and was past that. We have a more contemporary railing, but if the steel pickets, you know, we maintain that we're not visible, but if a traditional iron picket railing were preferred, I don't think anyone would have issue going back to that. But Mary, if you could go forward. I can go again. These are pictures of the mock-up in particular. And wanna, Mary, is there another? All right. I don't know what else. Let's go back to the pilot house. The elevation drawing is probably the most relevant right there. Yeah. This is what we're proposing.
You say that's not going to be visible.
We'd like Mary to confirm, but we've done geometry from a couple of places and don't believe it is.
So, I'm sorry, John, go ahead.
No, please.
Okay. Rick and Drew, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you on this, but I did go to look at the mock-up yesterday, and I could see a portion of it, and I'll see if I can zoom in on these photos to make this a little bit clearer. But I could see it over the rear of the building. So is this is Shawmut, right, over here? Shawmut mm-hmm. Avenue? Okay. So I could see it over the rear of the building from Shawmut Avenue. There's quite a large gap between on either side of the public alley. So that is where you can see it. As far as the front of the building, again, this is a foliage problem. I couldn't tell if you could see it from the front. So I'm going to pull it up on Google Maps again so I could be a little bit clearer of potential visibility. So here we are. So here is our building and here is the public alley. So this area of Shawmut Avenue is where I could see it. And you know, Upton Street is pretty narrow, so I couldn't see anything really from right across the street despite the foliage. But once you come down Upton Street, there's a playground here and a lot of open space that, you know, I can't 100% verify that it's not going to be visible from these public ways. But I can tell you for sure that it is visible from Shawmut Avenue.
Mm-hmm. So,
Mary,
go ahead.
If I can ask a question, this is Rick.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Were you seeing the pilot house or the railing?
So I was seeing, yeah, so here is our street view. So, you know, I couldn't tell really whether it was the pilot house or the railing. There was scaffolding there, so it was kind of hard to decipher. It looked like it was the pilot house because it was it was quite tall.
You put a picture in our comments, right?
I did, yeah.
And mm-hmm. it looks, the proportions of it
look like the pilot house.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. So.
It's a very limited slot view though, right? Oh, I see.
Right.
It's well, it is and it's not. View. It's more than just a slot view. It's pretty wide. See. Alley view over the garage of one of the back buildings.
Can you go right back down onto the street and show me where you sure. just were a second ago, Mary?
Yep.
Facing the Pooh Center. Oh yeah, that's almost the picture you took, in fact.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, you're gonna see it along with a lot of other stuff that's already there, but.
But it's against sky, which doesn't help things. Doesn't help matters. Can Rick, we look at the roof plan or roof elevation? Maybe the roof plan.
Yeah, I have to just
get yeah, the I know.
Screen back mm-hmm. up.
The good news was I figured out how to get out of full screen.
Good.
Yay.
I know. There's something called view options at the top bar. That has an arrow that brings down a drop-down menu that says either enter full screen or exit full screen. So I don't know how I got into full screen in the first place, but you know.
I think that may be the default when it opens.
How long will it take?
No, because I wasn't in full screen when it first opened. Uh-huh. So it somehow got that way, but. You know, program gremlins.
So
I'll blame COVID.
There we go. I think that's our new catchphrase. Let's blame COVID. So is it Rick? I'm sorry.
Rick Ames, yep.
Is there a way, what's in this? Is there a way that you could reduce the height or size of it a little bit, or especially the pull back the side that we're seeing from Shawmut?
you know, that's why I was asking about the railing. They're probably, you know, it really has been minimized, to be honest. You know, we have a 7'4" ceiling height, and we are trying to work with the existing staircases, so to relocate it, you know, is pretty problematic. I think it is a strong preference to have this safe access, but if it's not approvable, that they will go to a hatch access.
No, that's, I think we see by far the largest number of deck accesses are hatch accesses, or more recently the, I can't remember what they're called, the sloped hatches that are still fairly low profile.
No, I understand, but none of them have a landing and a way to open a door or deal with trays. They're all, you have to put stuff down, open the skylight. I understand.
We understand too.
I'm maybe a little older than some. I just don't think it's a very safe means of access. But if that's the acceptable standard, you know, we tried very hard to have this, you know, we'd do it in standing seam, have it be a very minimal roof structure up there of traditional character. So I really don't think we could, I think the solution is to eliminate it and put up something that's lower than the rail.
That may be the best plan of action here. And Rick, I appreciate your sense of cooperation on this, because what we find when, you know, we make an exception in one place is it sets a precedent for the building next to it and the one next to that and the one next to that. And sure enough, from Chaumont Avenue, we may see in 15 years time, you know, a half a dozen or more of these along the rooftop, and where there are none visible today. So that's why we have to be very careful about what gets approved and what doesn't.
No, we understand the precedent. You know, I mean, if you look at the precedent of what's visible from Chaumont, we're we're probably helping, but
you may be. But we take into account the fact that a lot of what's visible there now is stuff that was built before there was a commission in existence.
Understood. No, we don't want to.
Yeah.
I shouldn't speak for Jim, who is on board here. But, you know, we're not, we just heard from Mary at this hearing that it was visible from Chaumont. Mm-hmm. We were very confident it was not visible from Upton, and I don't think it will be visible from the playground. But this back corner from Chaumont, if, you know, you've identified it, and I think I speak for Jim in that this is the preferred solution, but it's not something that is we're, you know, we're going to contest with if it's deemed that it's problematic.
This is Jim Heffernan. Good evening, everybody. I agree. I mean, we think it's a safer access point, and but we'll be cooperative. And from views on the other streets, from Upton Street in particular, it is a thin street. It's tall enough height. It's next to impossible to see that. From Chaumont, I see your point, and you know, we see all the other decks there. But we, you know, preferences for safety in the head house, but you know, if we had to, we could do a hatch.
Well, Jim, thanks for that, and that's good to know. Any other questions about this from fellow commissioners? David, no. Catherine?
Yeah, yes.
David?
They had brought up that we should discuss the type of picket on the rails. I don't know if we've really discussed that yet.
Well, we haven't, because I don't think we've determined the visibility of the rails, but I think it doesn't appear I thought that the mock-up showed both the head house and the railings for front and rear. Is that correct, Rick?
It did. Yes, it does. That's why I was asking, you know, this the Chaminade observation is new, and that's why I was asking if it was the pilot house that was seen or the rail.
Right.
As long as something is below the rail mock-up, it's not visible.
From the rear, correct. From the rear, it did not look like we were seeing the railing detail. But we don't know from the corner of Chaminade and Upton that we can't see the rail from that angle, from the front. We don't know that just yet. Is there any way to confirm that, Mary? I mean, if foliage is blocking it, even a subcommittee going out there, that's not going to help.
Sorry, I was muted. What could potentially be done, you know, depending on the safety of the roof, to just go up and, you know, see if you can see the street from the top of the mock-up, and that would determine whether or not you would be able to see it from the street. I'm happy mm-hmm. to do that. If you want to remand that to me, I'm fine with that.
We can secure safe access at this point. It's a building staged and secured.
Okay, so I'm willing to do that.
Yeah, we're happy to host you anytime. I was just gonna say that probably the best is it'd be from the roof looking down. It was a good way to verify it. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, anytime you need. And my partner on this, he lives around the corner. So, you know,
okay,
easy great. To get you access anytime that you need.
Perfect. That's great. Thank you, Jim. David, did that answer your question? Because I think where you're going with that is if there is rail visibility, we want to be concerned about the detail for the rails.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I didn't know if we wanted to start talking about that now or not.
I think before we do that, John, did you have any other questions about this or Catherine? If not, David, why don't you just say what you'd like to be on the record about the rails?
It sounds like it's a modern cable type of rail. Is that right?
That's horizontal pictured. Cable.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think in past meetings we've said that it sounds like you guys have been aware of that we typically have vertical plane pickets and with a flat top, correct?
Mm-hmm. For anything that is visible, you know, the first order of business is trying to make the rails not visible, but if we're trying to work with the applicant to get a viable roof deck, and it's not possible to eliminate visibility, we try to minimize the visibility as much as possible. And therefore, whatever is visible would have to fall in line with that description of steel picket flat top rail. If they're not visible, then we don't really have purview over them. They can be designed in any way that the applicant wishes. So I think the first order of business would be to determine if there is any visibility of the rails.
So John, I think there is absolutely going to be visibility of the railings at the rear.
Oh, you do?
Even
though from that photograph, we're not actually seeing.
Well, I think so, because let me show you. Let me show you here. Can you see my screen?
Can.
The map, okay. So if you can see all of these roof decks, I think
Oh, wait a minute. We're seeing a drawing.
Okay, hold on. The reshare.
Right.
Okay, now you can see it?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. So I think our building is around here. And if you can see all of these roof decks, you're going to be able to see at least a bit of the railing. You know, I think it'll be-
We're much further back on the roof than those roof decks.
Yeah, those roof decks look fairly close to the back of the building.
Okay, I'm sorry, my mistake.
And I'm not trying to, I'm just trying to, and if they are visible, we'll go to pick it with a flat rail.
When you're up there, Mary, you'll be able to test that, right?
Yes, yep.
And I think the rule will be if they're not visible, they can be what they want, and if they are visible, they go to steel picket.
Mm-hmm. We'll use square bar stops in a standard cap.
What's that? I'm sorry?
We would use square bar stock and a, you know, three-quarter square bar stock and the standard flat cap.
That's correct.
And we would want to see a drawing just for the record.
No problem.
Yeah. Right. But basically, in the language of fire escape, that's the description we like to give.
Yeah, no, know the product.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Which is actually what was shown on 22 Braddock.
Correct. So I think we're, Catherine, I think we're ready for a motion.
Well, gee, are we just going to remand this to a subcommittee? Is that it?
I think we might even be remanding this to staff. Before you move, I think the idea is that we would, do we do a deny without prejudice for the head house, Mary? Or does that require them to come back and reapply?
No, I think
if
you
they
can
want
do,
to do a hatch.
You can do a deny in part.
We can deny the head house without prejudice and approve the hatch and concept, remand details of that to staff.
Yeah, I think so.
And remand visibility of railings to staff.
Yep.
Right? So sounds I think we have a motion.
There it is. Okay.
And who seconds?
We'll second. Okay. Or David, you can second. Go ahead.
I'll second.
So David seconded. So now I have to go to read for public comment in case there is public comment. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag #SEJuly7Hearing. Each person will have 2 minutes.
Okay.
Joe and Mary, do we have public comment?
We have one, Robert Timmerman, if you would like to make your comment, we'll give you 2 minutes. Robert?
Much care about the head house, although as a matter of record, I am an engineer. I've gone up on lots of roofs through straight ladders and hold on to the ladder with one hand and flip the head house lock open with the other hand. And it really isn't all that big a deal. And, you know, outside of that, I'm sorry, I said head house. I meant so you flip the lock on the hatch and just push it up and you're up. So I don't see it's all that big a deal. Happy to talk to people about that offline if they wish. That's all my comments.
Thank you, Robert. Is there anyone else, Joe or Mary?
I don't see anyone else raising their hand. Mary, Gabby, do you have anyone else?
No, there's no other comments.
Okay. So we'll go to a vote then. I'll take votes. David?
Aye.
Catherine?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. I guess we'll move forward with that and go to the next
John?
Application. Oh, yep, Catherine?
John? Yes. Could I make a suggestion that because some of the public participants may have arrived after it was announced that we're not reviewing 566 Columbus Ave. I think you may want to point that out again.
Oh, sure. So 566 Columbus Ave has been postponed to a special hearing that will occur very soon, a date to be determined, yet to be determined, but it'll be within a couple of weeks. And we apologize for the last minute change if any people have joined in expecting to be talking about 566 Columbus Ave. Please look for an announcement of a postponement and a new date.
Thank
commissioners,
you. Thank.
Commissioners, could you just confirm for me who made the motion for this last application?
John.
Okay. No, you did. And David seconded that.
Thank
David
you.
Seconded. Catherine made the motion.
Thank you.
Well,
with help.
Let's say I had
with
a
assistance.
Lot of help doing it.
You just
John
jumped
really
right in and took over.
He really put words in my mouth.
Okay. So we'll go to the next application then, which is I'm sorry, I'm just looking on the agenda for where I'm supposed to be. 45 West Newton. Right. Oh, no, we were just at 45.
We're
at 45. Okay, great. So application 20.1121, which is 45 West Newton Street.
John, I'm so very sorry, John, Rick Ames. So,
yeah.
Or Mary, thank you all for your time, but we do not need to remain for the administrative part at the end of the hearing?
No, you don't.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Thank
Rick.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So 45 West Newton Street, the proposed work is at the rear facade, which faces a public street, to construct a roof deck on an L and to construct a fire escape for deck access and to remove one window and install a door. So that is the scope of work. And do we have an applicant?
Yes, we do. It's okay. Owner Rosalie Lynn Spear.
Ah.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for listening to my presentation today. I appreciate having the opportunity.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So.
I wanted to just give a preview. What you're looking at right now, of course, is the site photos. It shows where the L, and on the left-hand side, the left photo shows where my window is located, which is three down, and that would be the window that goes access to the roof. If you go to slide, what I will do is just walk you through to just acquaint you with the location. If you go to the next slide, okay, that's slide, actually that is slide four. Should be four. That's five. So slide four, exactly.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's sorry. Okay. This one?
Yes, slide four.
Okay. Great.
It shows the one up. I'm sorry. We're going to four.
Okay.
There we go. Yes, slide four. Thank you. The slide four just shows, of course, the location to the other streets. There's Shamet, there's Haven, and West Newton. And what I would like to do, I'm proposing a fire escape to have an access from a window, current window. I've been working from home for the last 3+ months, like most people. And of course, as you spend a lot of time in a space, you start to redesign that space. and what it struck me, what it struck me is that I have no adequate emergency access from my unit. There's a front entrance, and the front entrance is the only access I have from my unit. And my fire escape is simply a platform outside a window. I'm the only unit within the unit of five that do not have an emergency access. So what I looked at that, I've been doing some construction, as you can probably see from the back, I've been doing some construction inside the house inside the unit as well. And as I looked at it and realized that in case of an emergency, I really can't get out of this building other than the front door. So I started thinking about this and the process of how do I get a fire escape, a real adequate fire escape. And at the same time, if you go to slide five, you'll show some more photos. But at the same time, there are new owners who have, were doing renovations. And one of the new owners above me, she has been given deck access by Landmarks for to rebuild. It was a rebuild of a deck and expand that deck. And the trustees and the owners have approved that I get a portion of the deck, which is just going to be from the probably like a third of the deck that you're that is being shown right now. The roof deck is a picture from the unit five. And I've been approved by the trustees and owners to have that tip, that about a third of that roof deck to build a deck, of the roof to build a deck. If you show the second picture here, it is an existing, as you'll see, the existing fire escape, which is just a platform. So it doesn't go anywhere. You just come out of the window. If you look at those photos, it's a platform coming out of the window and standing on that platform. It doesn't go anywhere. So it's not an adequate escape route. And subsequently, since I was given, if you turn to the next.
Excuse me, Rosalind, before we leave this picture.
Yeah.
Can you tell me in picture two, counting from the left, the platform outside of your window.
Yes.
Where does the window go that is to the right in that picture?
To the right of the picture.
Whose window is that?
That is my window. So to the far right is a view from inside. And if you were to open up that window, the coming from the right, that second photo is what you would see. You would see the platform, the fire escape.
Yeah.
And then that third picture from the right, that's just a continuation. So your view would be the platform, and then the platform extends to a second window, which is to the unit behind my unit.
So the window you're taking the picture from is your unit?
Yes, that's my unit.
And the window in the picture, in picture two, mm-hmm. that window is a unit behind your unit?
Yes, if you're coming from the left, yes. That is the window of the unit behind. There are two units on the second floor. So I have a front unit, and then there is a back unit. So I'm 2F, and the back unit is 2R, or actually it's unit three. But okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, John, you were going to comment?
I was going to ask this, pretty much the same questions that you're asking. I'm trying to get oriented.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're looking out through a slot in the second picture. It's obviously very narrow. And this very narrow L-shaped platform goes to another unit.
Correct. In
which is technically why somebody made it a fire escape, because it crosses a firewall. But on the picture on the left, are you looking down from that fire escape that you're now, I don't understand how the two relate.
No, the picture, I threw the picture, the far left, that is a picture from unit five. They took a picture from the view to show you the roof, the full roof. So if you're looking at that picture to the left, that shows the complete roof.
Where is your unit relative to that?
It's cascading to the left of that,
Well, maybe the drawings will
give a better. I think the drawings might give a better, which is on the next slide here. Yes, these will probably give a better idea. So
on the bottom right and the top right is that's the platform that we were just looking at.
Yes.
And you're proposing a stair that will cross a window and go up to a new roof deck.
There we go, yes.
Whose window is it crossing? You're going to block a window?
I've looked at, with my architect at a couple of options. It's going to, it could go steeply, and I don't know what your code, what your will allow, but it could go steeply where it just touches the tip and not directly blocking a window.
Hmm. So is your unit building just, code, it's not our code.
Okay.
Can I ask John just where Roslyn, where your unit is? Is it to the right of that lower red platform?
Yes, it's to the right, correct.
So that's
where the cursor is now. Where the cursor,
right? Yeah. That's your unit.
That's my unit.
And you have access to a third of the roof deck that is a floor higher than your unit.
Correct.
Okay. Just getting oriented there.
Of course.
Thank you. And go ahead, John.
Show us in the picture again. I think I get, so this is all happening in that very narrow slot. And the roof
go ahead.
See the plan in the middle on the right?
Oh yeah, the narrow slot, yep, see it.
So mostly it's not visible, or I'll ask Mary, but, and then this is all below. So the picture on the right, the parapet that we see at the top on the right is the edge of the roof that we see on the left.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Exactly. And then right. The building continues up and there's more fire escape that continues up. So those four people at the top of the roof picture there, mm-hmm. standing on something, those, that's where your deck wants to go.
That is where right. it is. We were having a deck, the roof replaced time. So that is a photo from the fifth floor showing down on the deck, on the new roof, I should say.
And you're
that's
going to
actually
this,
be quite visible.
The deck will be visible.
Yeah, the deck will be very visible.
Right. But we've already approved a roof deck on that roof.
Yes, you have. So
not long ago. As
correct.
I recall.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't remember.
Yeah, because it would hold drying yard discussion and horizontal wood members, et cetera,
I believe you. Okay, I see in the picture that Mary provided, there's other visible decks on roofs.
They are. That it's behind on Haven Street, there are a number of visible roofs.
Right. And I believe, John, the reason we approved the prior one is that we approved visible roof decks on L's. But as long as they are within the language of drying yards. And I think we were defining this portion of the building as an L. I believe. Is that right, Mary?
At the previous
previous approval
in December, that's correct.
Right,
Mary, I'd like to make a request.
Sure.
Could you go to Google 3D?
Yes.
And if I have it right, I think we can see a lot of this.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what's the definition that you just were talking about? The L or what?
Yeah,
I'm not understanding all the language.
Yeah, ELL. Is an L is a lower story addition that comes off the back of a building, usually the back of a building. It's language that's used for any kind of architecture, not just a townhouse. Like a farm can have an L or multiple L's coming off the back of a farmhouse. You know, you've got the original farmhouse and then you've got an addition on the addition. Those are generally called L's, ELL. In the south end.
Go to the 3D, the aerial view. You were just there.
Right? Yep. So here is the L.
Yeah.
Okay.
There are a number of L's off the back of those buildings.
So here's mm-hmm. where the roof deck would be, and the fire escape would come along here and then snake up towards the roof deck here. So you would see a portion of it, I think, from Haven Street.
Right.
I think you would see the whole thing, obviously, depending on where you're standing on Haven Street. Mm-hmm. But so this is where it would cross up. So here's that second window.
Mm-hmm.
And did Rosalind, did you say you own the other unit as well that would block the window?
Oh. No, I don't. But I do have, it's been approved, and I do have permission to cross there. It just, I have to limit the amount of blockage on the window.
Yeah, this is not our purview, but you'll have to prove to somebody at the building department that you're not changing their egress. Your architect will know about that.
Okay.
So we've approved a deck on that same roof back in December.
Correct.
Yes.
And now the deck didn't go out to the edge of the building, but your deck will, Roslyn,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
To all the way out to the Haven Street or edge.
With whatever inches or feet away from the whatever is permitted.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what's being proposed. The visibility of the fire escape is another matter altogether. And I think it may, I don't know if a 3D view like this is enough for us to determine the level of visibility, but as Mary says, the fire escape will be visible through that slot from the street.
Mm.
It is not unlike a number of buildings within the South End. Now, I don't know if this is pre-Landmarks, but certainly there are a number of other buildings with fire escapes. And from my perspective, it doesn't, right now I don't have an access. I don't have access to a secondary access. So
well,
that-
technically the access you have to your neighbor's window is your secondary access. Is that right,
so
John?
So in case of emergency, I break her window and get out.
That's
and
right.
And then I go into
well,
her
that's
building.
How, it's grandfathered. You couldn't do that now, but that's
oh,
how it was probably turned into a condo some time ago.
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want that to be my egress, I have to admit.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way for you to get down to grade in your scheme?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that a question? I apologize.
Yeah, is there a way for you
for
to
you.
Get... Go ahead, John.
Never mind.
Is there a way to... I didn't hear the question.
In what you're proposing, is there a way for you to get to the ground, or is it that your egress, in case of fire, you'd go up to this roof deck and...
There
right
isn't
there.
Right now in that pit, I guess, we're having that first floor is a 12 feet ceiling. So the drop is plus a pit because it has a basement. So we're talking almost normal. I don't know what is considered normal, but we're talking about a 2-floor descent. And then from that descent, then there is an ascent on stairs. If you look back at the yellow stairs, they're yellow. No, they're green stairs in one of the photos. In the photo on slide number 5, and slide number 5, you'll show where you can descend, and then you have to ascend again. And then there's a locked door by the in that pit. So it's an ascension and then a descension and then an ascension to get to first floor, to ground level, to street level.
Yeah, that's understood because most back gardens are below street level.
Right, so it's
So you would descend to below street level, but then you would have to ascend back up to it.
Back up
which
to street
I
level.
Imagine the people who live on the garden level have to do when they egress their unit. If they want to egress out the rear, they have to get up
to
the street
ascend.
Level.
They have to go up to street level.
Right. So in an emergency, you could do the same thing if you found a way to get down to the garden level, which is two levels down.
Well, there are two levels because the first floor is I think they're like 13 feet ceiling. So we're talking, and then there is that additional pit to go to the basement. So it's really, you're ascending their first floor.
It's almost like three floors.
Right, their first floor, and then you're ascending then further down into the basement, so.
Okay, yep.
So you're going a good ways down, and then to come back up to into ascend. Mm-hmm.
Right. So our staff comments remind us that approval of fire escapes are only permitted when required for safety and an alternate egress route is not possible. So we're trying to find out if there are possible alternates to the fire escape that you're proposing. Mm-hmm. They also let us know that fixed diagonal stairways are discouraged. So, if there is no alternate way, there would still need to be some way to come up with an alternate to that fixed diagonal staircase that you're looking at.
Right.
So any comments or questions about that? From commissioners.
How wide is the slot?
Between the L's?
Mm-hmm.
Between the L's.
Looks like it's a little wider than a window.
Well, the narrowest, I'm not sure it's allowed as a means of egress, but the narrowest spiral stair you can do has a 5-foot diameter.
Okay.
And that looks, these pictures are misleading, and you'd probably have to put it right in front of your
window.
Neighbor's window.
Oh, yeah, that too.
I considered having elevated to have two platforms coming out. So the fire escape. I looked at a couple of designs, but having two levels, so keeping the fire escape level that's by my neighbor's window, lowering my platform so that I have a door coming out onto that platform instead of a window. And I looked at a couple of designs where I then cantilever perhaps behind her window, and then climb up. I've just looked at a few. I'm looking at a few designs. I don't know. First of all, I can continue looking. Oops, you'll see better in these designs. Yes. So in the 1, 2, 3 down on the right, you'll see two levels of platforms that's being proposed, which is keeping the existing platform where my neighbor is, and then having my platform lowered and then ascending. So when I lower that platform, it then allows me to have a door and not a window, and then ascending from there.
We would have to determine if you are removing visible original fabric off the building, and if you are, that would be discouraged, if not outright not allowed. you may have to keep the sill elevation where it is. Mm-hmm. You could convert the window to a door as long as it continued to look like a window, mm-hmm. like a faux window that actually hinges like a door.
Yes.
But it would have to look like a double hung window. And then you could have steps on the inside of your unit up mm-hmm. to that existing right. sill and keep the platform where it is. Mm-hmm. You could still propose to extend the platform beyond your neighbor's window mm-hmm. so that you could ascend in a way that would not block either of those windows there with either probably, John, it sounded like you were leaning toward a spiral stair. Is that right?
I was just wondering if it would work.
Well, if you look at the plan view, how wide is the window? Because that gap is probably easily three or twice as wide as the window is in that plan view.
Here's what I'm thinking, if I can back up a second. Are we in agreement that a deck can be allowed up there because of the L rule?
Yeah, and we've already approved a deck on that roof, visible.
And we can allow a window to be converted to a door if it looks like a window.
Correct. So far, so good.
All that leaves is the stair. And if you look down Haven Street, I don't want to make Mary go back to the Google view, but if you look down Haven Street, the more the stair can move to the right, the less it'll be visible.
So, meaning closer to her window.
Yes. So
the closer to the window that you're exiting out of, the better.
Oh, I see.
Because so it'll remove visibility some.
Yeah, if you zoom down on the street level on Haven Street, Mary. Yeah, back up. Yeah, go down the street. One more. Yeah. So.
Well, we're trying to see that slot, which is not easy.
Yeah. No, that's it. So this is the side. Yeah.
That's the side that we're that we're riding up against.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. If the stair came all the way to the edge, and notice, there's another
fire escape
right there. But if you go back down and look that way, it'll be the more, I'm pointing with my cursor, the more you are to the right of the window, the less visible that stair would be.
Well, basically the deeper in the slot you are, right?
Yeah.
We want the vertical circulation to be as deep in the slot as possible.
Right. So I'm wondering if we approve the deck in concept and approve changing the window to a door-like window in concept, but ask them to come, ask Rosalind and her architect to take a look at several options for the stair, because you mentioned that you already had.
Yes, I did a few options, so yes.
Now, Rosalind, go ahead, John, finish up, but I'll have a comment after that.
I'm just saying one of those might be more acceptable to the commission, and we should probably look at the options.
Right. And I should, so just from your point, I should look at options that have the stairs closer to the right, if I'm looking out my window, to the right or to the right of my window?
Well, as close to the window you're exiting.
As close to the window, okay.
That you're exiting.
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's really pulling back. I'm just thinking about that's pulling back the stairs. So it's not extending the existing platform. It would be receding, with coming back towards the window.
Well, it depends on how you, well, first of all, whether you're using a stair or whether you're using a diagonal stair or a circular
spiral.
Stair.
Spiral. I see.
If you can use a spiral, you probably have to go beyond your neighbor's first window. With your platform, otherwise the spiral will be directly in front of that window.
Yes.
And it looks like the slot, while very narrow, might be more than 5 feet, John. It might be six. I don't know. Would it be possible to fit in a spiral stair there?
I mean, 5 feet is the minimum, basically.
So you're referring to the width. Between
the width of the gap between the gap. L's.
Okay. The diameter, yeah. Does the diameter of the stair fit in
diameter.
There?
Diameter, okay.
Would a 5 foot diameter spiral stair fit within the gap between your two L's?
I see, okay.
And if so, that gives you, we don't love spiral stairs either, but it would be less visible if you can conceal it in the way deep end of the slot. Mm-hmm. It would be far less visible from the street.
I see.
Now, can you go back to the, John, would it be okay if I asked to go back to the elevation and plan that we were looking at?
Yep.
Mary, thank you. So in the elevation end plan, don't zoom in just yet. If you had a spiral stair that went up just beyond the far right window, mm-hmm. so you're, if the far right window is window number three, numbering mm-hmm. them from the left, 1, 2, 3, mm-hmm. you're going to put your spiral stair between windows 2 and 3,
yeah.
probably as close to window 3 as possible, mm-hmm. right? And when you reach the roof, you're going to be in front of your neighbor's roof deck.
Correct.
And you're going to have to land on their roof deck. I don't know where they're, how far, I can't remember the plan of their roof deck and whether it comes all the way to the edge of the L or whether it's set back. Do you know?
If you go to slide 7, I think I have in there some dimensions that they had provided. Right here, yes. So let's see. I think it does go to the rail. I think they were looking to go right to the rail.
You mean the face of the building?
Yeah, the edge, I think, oops, the one before, sorry, number 7. Yeah, there. So,
John, originally you had approved a deck that did come out much further. I can't remember offhand if it did come to the edge of the building or not, but they amended it after the hearing to a smaller footprint.
Yeah, I think it extended, and I was told that I think you have to have a foot away from the railing, perhaps, maybe 2. I don't remember.
Well, there is no railing, so are we talking about the face of the building?
The face of the building, sorry, not from the railing, but the face of the building, yes.
Okay. So what about the slot face? Is that the face we're talking about? The, where does their deck, does the deck come all the way to the edge of the slot?
Yes.
But Mary said the footprint is smaller now.
So it was smaller from the Haven Street. Mm-hmm. So originally the footprint went out to towards Haven Street.
Oh, and they've reduced it, but then you're going to replace it with yours,
correct,
Roslyn.
Yeah.
And so you may have to get access through their portion of their roof.
Oh, I see.
Their roof deck. You're going to enter the roof within the footprint of their roof deck. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
If you go mm-hmm. straight up instead of diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. John, in the interest of knowing that you have a deadline in 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to figure this part out here tonight.
I wasn't trying to figure it out. I was just pointing out the problem.
I think.
That, like, the spiral stair may not be a solution if they won't allow her access
right
onto the deck. So that needs to be sorted out.
Right. And I think we've been very cooperative with the deck rights. So I'm feeling confident that if that is the only solution, that it will be allowed. But certainly that is something that I would have to discuss.
Right. So John, I think though you might be leading toward a motion.
I could do point. That.
Before I ask for that though, I want to ask if there are any questions or comments from David or Catherine?
Not for me, thank you.
One quick question. So do we need to discuss the fire escape material or type do we have to advise on any type of material? Because I'm wondering from the perspective of this is not like a fire escape which sees very little use, but a staircase that would be used on a regular basis to access a deck and might have some differences from a fire escape.
That's a good point.
Yes,
David.
I did consider that when I was getting my price in. I did, because it would have to be definitely more sturdy, as you mentioned, with frequent use. It has to be, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as John mentioned, a spiral stair would have to have a 5-foot minimum diameter.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that would prevent it from still being in the language of a typical fire escape of non-ornamental steel plain pickets, plain top rail, that sort of thing. I have a black metal spiral stair behind my own house that would meet that same criteria. So if that's what you're getting at, David.
Well, also the floor, you know, many fire escapes are sort of grid pattern
right.
steel, while many staircases are treads with flat surfaces.
That's right. The treads would have to be flat, and you can't have open treads, can you, John? Open risers, I mean?
No, but it can be a grid like David's talking about.
The risers could, yep.
There's other restrictions, but yes.
Okay.
I mean.
So should we be advising on what the look and feel of that is like, or is it too early? Do you feel like there's more information that we need to get?
Well, I think they need to go back and see if this will work before we get into all of that. I mean, David's right. There is a special vocabulary for L drying porch decks. And you always remember that better than I do. But I think.
And we've approved it for that same roof. So the design approval letter for that same roof from December would describe what would be approvable here.
Okay.
For the deck rail itself, the deck rail.
But I think they need to come back to us with a proposal that will work on that wall for a stair and hold it back to the right or to the east or northeast or whatever it is as much as feasible, and let us see that. Because I'm not advocating a spiral stair. I think there's lots of things wrong with them. I'm just
what are some of the things
that's wrong with a spiral stair?
Yes.
People going down them have if you're not used to it, they have a tendency to step on the narrow side of the tread. So it can be something. And I'm not sure that ISD will allow it as part of a egress route. I don't know whether the code will allow it. I don't know the answer to that question. Fire escapes are a special section in the code, and they're only allowed under special circumstances. And the reason I refer to it that way is because if you were on the deck and there was a fire, that would be your egress, correct? So, I think there's several problems that need to be explored that are out of our purview.
Okay.
But I think we can say we would allow the deck with the material description from December, and we would allow some sort of connection in the vocabulary of a fire escape, as David points out, and we would allow a window to be converted to a door that looked like a window, as we have done before.
Right. That does not alter the sill elevation.
Correct. And I'll make that a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and it's been seconded. I'm going to ask for public comment then. So I will read that out. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov. or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag #SEJuly7Hearing. Each person will have 2 minutes. Joe or Mary or Gabby, do we have comment coming in?
Don't see anyone raising their hand, John.
And nothing from Twitter or email.
Okay. So, Joe or Mary, I can go right to a vote then?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll take a vote. Catherine?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries.
Thank you.
And thank you very much, Rosalind. We'll probably see you again when you come back with more news.
Exactly. Do I get a, not want to keep you too much longer, do I get an official notification of what we've discussed? I've been taking notes, but.
Yes, I'll send you a letter.
You will. Excellent, yep. Mary. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you, Rosalind.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rosalind.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. So if I'm not mistaken, I think we are through with design review. Is that right, Mary?
Oh. No, we have two more.
Oh, we do. I thought I saw things crossed out.
Yeah, the final two are crossed out.
Oh, we're still, more. We've got two on Tremont Street.
Yeah.
So
on Washington Street, right?
One on Washington Street, one on Tremont Street.
Right. One was moved to administrative review on Tremont.
Correct.
776, but we have 785 Tremont Street.
Yes.
This is 20.1086.
No, don't we have 1721 Washington?
Oh, next? I skipped. Correct. Sorry.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm scrolling and missing something. So 1721A Washington Street, which is application 20.1074. And this is at the Washington Street ground floor, replace the entry doors and transom and install a fence and gate. So do we have the applicant handy to make a presentation?
Yes, hello, I'm here. My name is Alpida Pericero-Pulu. I represent the owner and I'm with Horesco Associates along with my associate Philip Horesco.
Okay, well.
And Phil.
Hello, Phil.
The record.
Phil? Phil, are you on mute?
I will unmute myself. There we are.
Good evening. Name for the record.
Thank you.
You can begin your presentation anytime you would like to.
Who has put this project together. In the interest of time, please, Elvira will go right on, get into it.
So we will follow the slideshow that was submitted to Mary, and as I understand, she's running the screen share. So the first slide that you see is the complete front elevation of the entire building, showing the residential portion as well as the commercial portion of the ground floor to the right, which is a restaurant. So as you run through the slides, you will notice that the first slide shows a large elevation. And then when we go to the second slide, we will zoom in to the existing condition of the current entrance of the commercial unit on the ground floor. And then when we go to the third slide, we will show part of the proposal, which is to install a metal fence and gate. And then behind that, there would be also a new entrance door to the new commercial space, District Audio. So going to the slide number four, you will see a zoom of the presentation for the proposal for a new front door and new light fixtures to go above the existing metal transom. And as we go to slide number five is a couple of examples of the fence type the owner would like to use. And there is an example of a property at 1661, I believe, Washington Street, that has a typical, a similar metal fence. Slide number six shows the existing condition of our door, the current door to the commercial unit, which we would like to replace with a wooden door instead of the storefront. So all dimensions remain the same. The transom, all the metal panels as they are, we're touching nothing else besides replacing the door with a new door that has the design as shown on slide number four. And then we are installing this new metal fence similar to the slide number five. So the last couple of slides show some more pictures of the existing condition to show context. And there we go. And then slide number 7 is showing some detail the owner would like to add for the hardware and the color of the new door. So maybe it would be best to go back to slide number 4. Thank you.
These doors are in the space, the link between the original Minded Hall building and the addition we completed in 2003. Mm-hmm. So all within the link. That to the left is the adjacent new building, that is condominium building. This is the commercial space on the first floor. Equator is the restaurant on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're in the original Minded Hall building. So all the work is taking place is within the 2003 edition of this building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm. So questions from commissioners. David, do you have any questions about this?
Was there something there before 2003? Was there any historic information about this section of next to Nino Hall?
What was there was a movie theater at one point. When we arrived on the scene in 1999, there was a parking lot. Okay. And Minded Hall had suffered 2 fires and had been partially redone as an auction house, that the historic building. And We built the new building. There's a condominium building, retail on the first floor, and a parking garage under the complex, the new complex here, with the driveway off West Springfield Street. So this building, the new building, wraps around the rear of Minded Hall all the way over to West Springfield Street, facing here on Washington Street. What was there? The short answer should have been a parking lot, but there was a movie theater here, which you can find in the files, you know, historic files for Washington Street.
Yeah.
But that was long gone before we ever arrived.
Mm-hmm.
We have a residential entrance on the opposite end here. I do have a photo of the whole front from West Springfield Street down to that other entrance.
That would help me. I'm a little confused. Yeah.
So Elpida, I don't know. Do you?
Yeah, I can. If you can go to the slide number 1, or that shows like the elevation of the entire building, and then if you would allow us to share our screen, we could show that photo that Phil is referring to.
That only shows the Minded Hall addition and a piece of Minded Hall. The building with the arch on the left is the residential entrance to the 46 condominiums upstairs on floors 2 through 6. There is a photo that I have on my laptop that I can put there if you want to see the whole building. The range from this, from the arched entrance over to the end of West Springfield Street. So how can I get that to for you all to see?
Barry, I made Phil a co-host, so he should be able to share.
Okay, so you can share your screen at the bottom, where there should be, in the center, it should say share screen.
Oh yeah, let me make it big enough so it covers all the trash on my computer. Oh God. And then I have three screens, so which one is it gonna share? We'll see. Don't you love Zoom? By the way, you guys do a great meeting here. This complexity is not that big. We know. Anyway, there we go. Okay, here we go. Share screen. do you see?
Yes.
Wow, those trees have gotten big. So
they got a little bigger. Mm-hmm. 2003. Okay, that's 17 years ago. So we're talking about the entrance in front of tree number two, shall I say, or tree number three, depending.
Got it. Okay.
So it's wood doors versus the aluminum that's there presently. The new owner who bought this condominium commercial space would like something more warm, shall I say.
And why do they want the gate?
The gate is because of homeless people camping there and hanging out. And that's the truth of the matter. Mm-hmm. Just a way of securing it, more or less.
And they'll swing in or swing out or?
Presently, I'm showing them swinging in.
And how high are you showing them?
They'll pee them.
How so, high is, the, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, so the fence goes approximately to 8 feet, 10 inches high. Mm. So the way we are showing it on this on these illustrations, the drawings, it would match the top of the transom, mm-hmm. the existing transom. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need to drop off for about 10 minutes, maybe 15. So, John, can you take it from here?
Okay. This is your specialty, though. I don't know the answer to this one. Sure. We can.
Okay.
We can look at this.
I'll try to be back as quickly as possible, but I do have to drop off. Apologies.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, so everybody, I was having trouble catching up here, I'm sorry, and understanding exactly where this was. For some reason, I was around the corner. Are there commissioner questions, Catherine or David?
Yes, I have a question about the door. So the only imagery we have of what you're proposing is that drawing, correct?
Correct.
Well, there's.
And if you can go to the drawing, my question is, what's wood and what is glass?
So I'm going to stop sharing so you can go back, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or yeah. If you can allow me to share, if you like, I have the presentation here as well, if it's easier, whatever works best.
I have the presentation right here, so I can just do that.
Okay.
Can everyone see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. Showing a larger, right there. Thank you.
This one, yep.
So the arrow pointing to the bottom, you know, there's the bottom two squares.
Mm-hmm.
Are those wood or are those glass?
That would be wood, and glass will only be the top two panels and the transom.
The top two, uh-huh. And mm-hmm. the transom, gotcha.
Correct.
And then you're proposing... Thanks, Elpida. Then you're proposing that the wood around it be the green color?
That has been our client's request to add a little bit of color and to give it a more fresh look as a new use of the space.
And can you show the gate again? I'm sorry. Is there some kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's no image of the gate.
So the gate,
yeah, there's drawing, yeah.
There is a drawing of the gate, and then there is an example of the style of the metal.
I see, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And then where the arch is, you know, to the left, the other entry.
The arch is the residential entrance portion of the building that we're not, we have nothing to do with that.
I see. So your entry goes to what? Sorry.
So if you Mary, if you can go to slide number 8, it shows these two photos of the existing condition. So this is photo number 1 is the entrance to the commercial space. And then to the right of that, we have the existing restaurant. So then when you look at photo... When you look at photo number two, they have these planters in front of the residential entrance that are hiding the arch in that picture. So the arch is the entrance to only the residential lobby of the building. Yeah. So the commercial space, I'm sorry.
Yeah, what's the commercial space, Alpita?
So the commercial space will be a recording studio. It's called District Audio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they have their own separate entrance as a commercial use.
Recording studio. Okay, thank you very much.
The three windows at the front are all there is an exposure for this commercial space. And what was in there was the doggy,
Oh, right. Yeah,
Bark.
I remember.
Anyway.
Bark, yeah. Well, when you say, Phil, when you say three windows, what do you mean the three windows? What three windows?
From the entrance over toward where we're talking about potentially putting these wooden doors. There are storefronts.
Oh, okay. I see them. Gotcha.
And that's it. That's what you get at that point. You can see them very clearly on the...
Okay. Thank you.
David, do you have questions?
Well, that last comment just confused me now again, so I'm sorry. So are we just talking about the door or the windows on the front of the building?
No, just the door.
Just the doors and the gate. That's all.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then it looks like there's a transom now, and that's going to be in the same place as the new transom.
Correct.
And then the lights that you propose are going to be above that in that other area above the transom, or is that out on the exterior?
That's right. So the existing lighting that is there will remain in place. And then above that, if we can go to slide number four, is where this swan type light fixture will be installed on the existing. There we go. Thank you. The existing metal panel that is there.
So I just want to remind commissioners that exterior lighting is not in our purview.
All right.
And nor is the color of a wood door, correct?
Correct, Catherine.
Okay.
Wow.
No, I mean, if I can jump in here, this is a new building. It was designed and went through design review, but the entrance and the door change doesn't worry me. I guess what I'm concerned about, and I don't know the answer to, is the new gate. Is this occupancy fewer than 50, Phil?
Yes.
Okay, so it could swing in as you've shown it. It wouldn't have to swing over the, but I don't know what the rules are, Mary, about a new 8-foot high locking gate, or presumably lock at night. I don't think we've allowed that before.
John, so I don't know. Mary, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I don't
sure,
know
go
if
ahead.
This is, it's not quite the same, but we approved that gate over that drive area, parking spots next to the cemetery on Washington Street. Remember? They put up a big gate between the cemetery and the building.
Yeah, vaguely. That was to an alley, right?
It's not an alley. It's kind of an open parking area. It's not the same, as I said, but it was an open area, and they put up a big gate for essentially the same reason.
Mary, did you give... I mean, I think the gate looks nice. And we were just talking earlier about fleur-de-lis, and you've got Boston circles in it. I don't know what John will feel about that. I just don't know.
Yeah, so the guidelines are, the guidelines really don't address fencing in this context.
In the commercial?
Commercial context. They refer to it as, or they refer to it in the context of front yards. Which this is not. So, you know, I haven't seen any fences like this be approved, but I haven't been here for that long. So I don't know. Joe, if you could pop in here, I'm not sure. Do you know of any fences like this that have been approved in the past in the South End?
I have one memory of there may have been one by the St. Cloud, but I don't remember the details of that. In a house next to the St. Cloud, there's sort of a small street and a Second Empire house. I think there was one proposed for that entryway, but I don't remember the details.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Mary, if I may, if you go to slide number 5, there is an example that actually is what inspired our client to wanna have this type of fence at 1661 Washington Street. Okay. The picture, unfortunately, is not very good quality because it's from a little bit afar, but that's that was the intention.
It's a little bit different, isn't it? That's more similar to what I was talking about, a sort of an open area rather than putting a gate right in front of an entry, which kind of, my feeling is that it goes against what we've looked at in the past, John. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I believe Mary saying that it doesn't address it. The staff comments recommend a denial without prejudice for the gate, but I don't have a good rationale either way. I mean, I think Phil's done a nice job of designing it. If we allow it, that's what we'd want it to look like. I'm not clear about it.
You know, review one on Haven Street. Excuse me. Street, there was that small house, and they installed there was already an existing gate there.
That was a 1 or 2 family residential. And
right.
The gate existed. It was part of the original.
I remember the issue there was it opening out onto the sidewalk.
Right. But here, because the occupancy is fewer than 50, it's okay if it swings in. Phil, with the, Alpita, would the gate be open during business hours, or what would be the policies about that?
So my understanding is from the client, because they will have the access to the space will be by appointment only. So it would be a locked gate. And then when they have people come in, they will keep it unlocked for access. So it was just for security reasons that they wanted that. And as Phil mentioned, there have been, you know, incidents where people would use that little area for other purposes. So they wanted to discourage that.
John, I will say there is in the guidelines under entry doors and vestibules, it says gates or grills directly outside or in place of main doors may be allowed and will be reviewed on a case by case basis.
Mr. Amadeo's back. John Amadeo, I think we're in agreement that the proposal to change the door to wood is not offensive. That sounds terrible, but and what we're discussing is the whether it's allowable to have an 8-foot high gate there. And I don't remember, and Joe and Mary have identified a couple, Catherine, gates have been allowed on alleys.
Right. Can I just ask a question about the wood doors? Does that include replacing the storefront transom from a metal frame transom to a wood transom, wood frame transom? Or are only the doors being replaced, and does the transom remain as is?
It could be a unit change. Transom and doors by one unit. I think that would be most appropriate personally.
Okay, agreed. I didn't hear about the transom being replaced, so I just wanted to clarify that.
Value engineering people, but this is a value that would require it all to be replaced, in my opinion. Okay.
Great. So
that's how we'll draw it.
I know that there have been other instances where applicants have requested to gate off walkways or to their doors or stairways up to their stoops, and we've denied them. So
all on historic properties. This is a new building. It's the same.
That's true. Concept. And it's true that where we reviewed those, we were reviewing them for historic properties. So
right.
I would say that for the purposes of the kind of security that they're looking at, I have to question the height of 8'6" or 8'3" or whatever it was to match the height of the transom. That seems excessive, and it appears to bring the character of the district back to days that the district has long left behind. I'm just wondering if the height of that fence can be lowered to something like 4 foot. Like, does it need to be, is a homeless person really going to scale a 4 foot fence?
No, I agree. If I may say, I have this on the building, the addition that we did. There is this precast band that is to the left of this entrance, which happens to line up with the height of the door. If I could rail across there and have pickets go somewhere in that range, the one on the left, this precast concrete piece, if I could pick that as a height, that's what I picked, okay? That's what I would like, okay?
And,
people get nervous. They start with this idea. And you and I agree, something above 4 feet and up will discourage. But I think it might be an attractive element. I was thinking about it because the louver to the left is for the garage. It might mask a bit of that, and that's not particularly an attractive element. We ended up with that because we needed to bring air into a 26-car parking garage underground. So I thought in the end, I mean, like, you know, people make additions to your designs and sometimes you go like, oh, great idea, or maybe not. Well, maybe not part for me is that it's too high, okay? I wanted it to line up with the precast concrete.
That's an interesting choice, and I think in isolation, that would be a choice that might work. It might be interesting to see where that would land against Minot Hall's elevation.
Mm.
And maybe we could, and given that, you know, our biggest concern would always be about the preservation of historic fabric, we want to see how it would impact Minot Hall. And while I might in fact agree with your choice to line it up with that precast band, could we look at the drawn elevation, maybe the drawn elevation that shows your 8'6" rail? I think right there, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
there's not much on Minot Hall that it would align with.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't lower it a whole lot to lower it to the precast band, but it certainly, I think it certainly would be better. It would be an improvement, I think. I see that you're doing your best to align the mid rails and rings with the top of the storefront on Minot Hall's wood paneling, which I think is a good choice to have done that. And I would say if one had to lower it to a spot that made sense, if you weren't going to lower it all the way to that point, to that mid rail point, I would lower it to the precast band and have the rings in the upper portion of that to occur toward the bottom of the precast band and the rest of the pickets to meet the more or less the top of the precast band so that all of that detail at the top of your rail occur within the dimension of the precast band.
John, is this to say that you think it's the gate at all is allowable?
I'm saying if we were to approve a gate, I'm still, you know, pointing out that we have not approved gates for security purposes leading to front doors.
Shouldn't we do that before we start designing where it's going to go? I mean,
well, John proposed a counter argument, and that's why I led into this.
It's my fault. I take responsibility.
Can I make a comment?
But I agree with you, Catherine.
As usual, I just want to cut to the chase.
I don't disagree with Phil's comments about masking some of the other features there if the gate were open, but for a gate that's going to be closed most of the time, I think that I tend to imagine that the original architect thought that having a setback between the two buildings was deliberate to kind of differentiate the two from the historic building to the new building. And putting a gate here, although you can see through it, sort of flattens the block so that as you're walking along, there's less dimension. So I'm not sure if that's strong enough of an argument, but that's kind of my impression.
Mm-hmm. I was having a similar impression, although I didn't raise it. So thank you, David, for raising that.
I think the original architect's right there.
Yep. Phil, by the way, exactly was the original architect.
I think you probably nailed it right on the head.
I happen to know him. Anyway, thank you. The photograph and the other things, Ecuador and Equator and the other restaurant, they all have outside seating. So that I happen to agree with this thing. The reason for the recess had to do when we reviewed this in front of this, John, you might have been there, or both Johns may have been there.
I think we had just arrived, yeah.
2001, okay?
Oh, no, we were there 4 or 5 years already.
Okay, so in the Wayback Machine, when we did this, it's lead-coated copper, we wanted it gray, and we have the same stripe of lead-coated copper on West Springfield between the West Springfield addition, that looks like an addition to, where it looks like a separate building. Both were meant to be separate buildings, and it had to be, it was intentionally put back. But mm-hmm. I personally thought it might add a little texture to the thing and make it friendly. They put plant material, as you see, in front of the entrance, the residential entrance, but the restaurant has seating from one end to the other, that whole block, mm-hmm. not pure. So that your recess ends up being deeper than it would otherwise be. And it's a little, the louver killed it for me. I wanted the louver to be brick, okay? You know how you do brick louvers and you put the metalwork behind it?
Mm-hmm.
I lost that one in the building process with the, it just had to be that much bigger, you know, because it's ventilation for the garage. I needed free air into it. So I never liked it, you know, I suppose someone could paint it red, but I thought this metalwork would actually help. And I happen to agree with you, John, on the height and where the circles would go and the pickets would be in line with the top of the precast, more or less, you know, somewhere in there, or maybe, you know, the arrows would be playing with that shadow line that's created with that precast. So
mm-hmm.
I think it can add, and I think in the end, you're probably gonna have this more open than not once they get used to the neighborhood. They do have special customers showing up, and I think they are getting nervous in that way. If you know the kind of people that go to recording studios, you can imagine. So, anyway.
I have a recording studio right above me. The thing that always happens in our building is that they have a hard time schlepping large instruments through double doors like this. They're constantly pinning them all open and carrying in harpsichords and, you know, double basses and all of that.
Right. Harps.
Yeah, exactly.
Tubas. So, regardless of the use, back to Catherine's question, would we approve having gates here, whether they're left open or not? would we approve the installation of a gate and a fence here? And that's something that's we ought to discuss.
How can we come around to why would this not be setting a precedent if we allowed it?
Yeah, that's the worry.
Because we have residents who have bus stops in front of their house who want to gate their walk or their stoop. And, you know, residents that have other similar sidewalk issues. And, but those sidewalk issues tend to be of their time, and they're not static. They don't stay the same from one decade to the next. But once the fence is in, the fence is in, you know?
Right.
People don't remove those fences and gates later when the problem goes away.
No, and you're right, John. We've had those requests, those applications for gates, and one was right across the street, if mm-hmm. I recall correctly, at the building right next to, you know, what was the convenience store, and it's now the Bar Leon. You know, they wanted a big gate right at the bottom of their stoop, and we mm-hmm. denied that.
Right.
I hate to say it, but I think we need to deny this without prejudice, which would allow them to come back with further if they get more information or we have a reason to change our minds. But I can't see, given what everybody's saying, that we allow this now. And the neighborhood is quickly changing. The Alexandra is going to be starting construction soon.
That's 20 years later for me.
Yeah.
Well, longer for other people too.
Stop reminding us how old we are, Phil. Thank you. Yeah.
No, but that's a very good point, John. You know, both Johns, things don't mm-hmm. stay the same. And once that thing is up, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though to me it's not a horrible thing, but I think you're correct, okay? And if they furnish space, you know, daytime furniture for people to sit and whatever, outside, take a break from whatever they're doing inside recording, it'll become used. Whereas people dropping their dogs off back and forth wasn't much of a use there. Mm-hmm. We'll actually have people coming and going here.
Right.
And I think some plant materials, some external furnishings can help keep people who feel like no one cares. The minute they start showing some care here, I think that will diminish the problem. So,
okay. So, Mr. Chairman, may I make a motion?
So, was that are we making a motion?
I wondered if you
John
were ready
wants
for
to make
motion.
A motion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Catherine's kicking me under the table. I'll make a motion to approve the door scheme as submitted, but to deny the gate without prejudice.
Second.
Okay. It's motion and it's been seconded. So I will then ask for public comment. And I will do that by saying that members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand or type your question in the chat in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. If you are calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at southendldc@boston.gov or via Twitter by tagging the Twitter handle @BostonLandmarks with the hashtag #SE July 7 hearing. Each person will have 2 minutes. And Joe, Mary, Gabby, do we have public wanting to comment?
No, no one's currently raising their hand.
And I don't have any comments through Twitter or email yet.
Okay.
No chats are coming in.
Okay, great. So then I will ask for votes. Catherine?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the guidance.
And okay, so we'll now go to the next application. Let's make sure I get this right. So we're going to 785 Tremont Street, is that right? Next?
That's correct.
And that's 20.1086. And that work is to do modifications to gas station signage and finishes associated with updating corporate branding. So do we have the applicant available?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. So if you can give us your name for the record, and then you can begin presenting.
Certainly. My name is Gary Potts. I am the owner of Professional Permits, and I am here today representing Big Red Rooster Flow Golf, and I do, I believe, have the property owner with me, Mr. Matt Ivel, to answer any questions that maybe I'm not able to answer. At this time, I'll go through the provided permit pack, and then I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have. Bear with me here, my screen just went blank.
We can still see and hear you. Okay.
There we go. So this is the site plan, and basically what we're doing here, Gulf is undergoing a rebrand of their corporate logos throughout the country. Part of that rebrand is a new color scheme and, of course, updating their signage and their fuel dispensers. If you'd go to the next page, please, Mary. This is showing the canopy reface. Basically what we're doing, currently the canopies, there's two of them. They are green. They'll be repainted to white, and the green awning on the building, and there's also a metal band that runs along the rooftop that would be painted white as well. And then the freestanding sign here at the road, the pole would be painted white, and then it would be changing from its existing Gulf brand to the new brand, and the new pricing dispensers, which change from blue to orange. If you'd go to the next page, this is just the next image of the other canopy showing where that's at. Those all four sides be painted white. Next page, please. These are the clearance signs that would be added to the pole showing the clearance. And then this Gulf and the orange, this is kind of our standard illumination. This would not be installed at this location. So please ignore the Gulf branding that is on there. These are the dispensers, changing the bottom panel from the Gulf to the blue with the lighter blue Gulf verbiage on top, and then the band across the top would change as well. Yeah, that's fine. Go to the next page. This is the sign. So it would go from the black pole to a white pole, the Gulf logo up top, and the price would be go from blue to orange. It's remain a double face sign. It would be internally illuminated with LEDs in the cabinet and internally illuminated on the pricers.
Is it currently internally illuminated?
That is a very good question. I do not know the answer to that question. I went back in this Google Street View and I saw a Sunoco sign that was there at one time that didn't have pricing on it, which appeared to be internally illuminated, but I don't know if this existing Gulf sign is, because that Sunoco sat across along the top here, so it's kind of a different design.
We can't allow new internally illuminated signs, so that would be important.
Okay.
They can be externally illuminated. I can see in your picture it looks like there's some goosenecks that have been covered over in the Photoshop at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Matt.
That may be why.
Matt, are you on? I was just asking if Matt was on. He can maybe answer that question as the owner.
Can
Matt, are you
there? He's there. Maybe he's muted.
Oh, sorry. There he is. Trying to put in the kids to bed. Sorry.
I don't know if you heard the question or not.
Yeah, it's not internally lit now.
Okay. So currently it is not internally illuminated.
Okay. It really looks awful though without just the outside. When it's not internally illuminated, it doesn't look good with the light shining on it.
Yeah, gooseneck lighting atop that sign would not be the proper way to.
Well, there's lots of new lighting that's not internally illuminated, but our rules don't allow lighting where essentially you can draw a line from your eye to the lamp through a clear or semi-opaque translucent. In other words, it can't be internally illuminated. But you certainly could replace those old goosenecks with much better quality lights.
And it wouldn't even have to be a pair of individual fixtures. I think there are, I don't know what you would call it, but it would be a bar.
A slim line or something?
Yeah, slim line connected with two brackets to the sign that would suspend the slim line out from the sign aiming back at it, so that you get more even light instead of a pair of hot spots or something. You know, that can be looked into.
I'm sorry, you said you do not allow internally illuminated LEDs?
Internally right. Illuminated signs, LED or not.
Okay.
We do allow LEDs for face or halo illumination. In fact, we like them because they're more easily controlled.
Right. As long as the Kelvin value is warm for okay. The LED lighting.
Yeah, has right. To be what's that number?
3,000 or lower.
3,000 or lower.
Yeah.
Go nice with the orange.
Yeah. Anything higher than 3,000 starts to look blue, the light.
Sure. Sorry, I'm just.
I'm hearing a motion.
Well.
Is there another page?
Is there more?
These are just the color specs showing the pump numbers for the motorists. If they had to go inside, they could tell the attendant which pump they are located at. And then just the ADA signage. And these are the paint specifications for the color scheme that we would utilize.
I think I don't think we control color in this instance. And yeah, I think the only difficult thing is the internally illuminated sign, Catherine.
Well, go ahead, Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Well, can we just remand that to staff?
Well, we deny the internally illuminated sign.
Well, we deny, but they have to come up with a different solution. But do we have to?
Do they have to come back to us for that solution?
Mm-mm. Exactly.
I don't think so.
I would say no. Right.
So we could remand that, we could deny without prejudice the internally illuminated sign and allow that to be remanded to staff.
Right.
And the same for, yeah. So, and if they want to provide lighting, that they could, we could remand the lighting to staff. Although I think we have recommendations. We don't have purview over the external lighting. I just want to point out that things like the stanchions that hold up the sign that's being changed from black to white, we do have purview over. And the roof as architecture over the canopies as architecture over the fuel pumps, we have purview over. I think it's architecture. It's definitely not a historic site, but we comment on contemporary architecture all the time in the district. And so while all that's been described as a change from pitch to flat and green to white, I think there's more to it than that. And I don't know if anybody else has any questions or comments they would want to make on that, but I have some thoughts myself.
Yeah,
the design wouldn't change the layout of the canopy as far as the pitch. It just repainting it.
Oh, they're not going to flat.
That is
correct. They're remaining pitched roofs.
They're just.
It's just when you showed them in plan, all the line work went away, and it just looked like a white rectangle.
Right.
In plan, so it made it appear as if it was flat.
Okay.
So I'm glad to hear that it's not. But and what's the material of those roofs? Are they metal? Is that metal panel?
I'm assuming that's what they are. They appear to be. I was looking at the street view earlier.
Mary, can you?
But you're only changing the color. It's correct. Only a color change, right, Gary?
We're just painting them, correct.
Right.
Right.
But I asked about the material because we have purview over color on metal.
We do. Does anybody have a problem with it going to white?
I'll be the dissenter and say yes. I have a problem with it going to white.
Can you switch to the first slide so we can see?
I want to know why architecture is brand.
Now, the only thing changing is the paint color, correct?
That is correct.
I'm going to point out that we had a commercial owner come to us for a storefront that they wanted to paint the entire storefront white. And they said it was because of their brand. And we said no. And so I am just going to point that out. It was on a historic building and
it was
more historic storefront. But I'm going to point out that we did comment on that and we made a decision about that. And
we did, but it was a mahogany storefront that covered a lot of area down the street. This is just a pole.
I'm not talking about only the pole. I'm talking about the green roofs going to white. And the pole going from black to white as well, but
okay.
It's one pole, I realize. I'm just going to say I object to the change of color from green to white on the roofs.
I think the rationale for that is just so that the new golf color scheme obviously doesn't, there's certain colors that go well with certain colors, and we didn't feel that the green roof line around everything looked well with the new golf color scheme.
Could you go to a neutral darker color than white, like gray? I just think white just stands out from space, you know? I mean, it's gonna, like from blocks away, you will see that white. Now, I know from a commercial interest, that's a good thing, but you got so much signage there, and orange is also something you can see from blocks away. So I think the orange is gonna carry the day, and I would like to see maybe the roofs, if they're not gonna be green, which you know mimics a copper patina, which is a material that would be sympathetic with the district, if it's not going to be green, that it be something like gray, that is a lot like a lot of the metal panel that we do allow within the district.
They do have a golf dark gray that they use for the curbs, and then they have a lighter gray they use for the bollards. That's in their color scheme on the last page, the paint specifications.
Dark gray sounds good, John.
Is the darker gray the... Oh, Gulf dark gray, it's in the middle?
Yes, the 07.
Yeah. I think that would be fine for the roofs. And even for the pole. I'm going for it all, Catherine.
Yes, yes, you are. I love it.
Well, that I'm only one person, but I'm just letting you know what I think. And
well, I'm glad you spoke up and objected.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard from David. David, do you have any thoughts on this?
I agree with you. I hadn't thought of the white until you said it, but I do think it's going to stand out like a beacon. So I think a different color would make sense.
Yeah, I think if golf has a standard dark gray, I would approve that. I would be okay with that.
Gary?
I was going to defer to Matt.
Who's on mute, by the way? Matt,
hi,
you're on mute.
Sorry, still putting the kids to bed. am I unmuted?
You're unmuted.
All right. Yes. I think that obviously the white would look better when it brightened up the area. It's a pretty dark area, but if gray is all you guys will do, then I guess we don't really have much of a choice. If golf even will do, I don't know if golf will even do that. I'm not sure. I'm not with golf, so I'm not really sure if they'll even do that. But I think the white.
Well, you have to. It's an historic district, and so I think it's a perfectly fine suggestion.
Okay, yeah, I agree. I understand. Yeah. I just think the white would brighten it up, but whatever golf can do is fine. It's on them.
White does denote more clean. Yeah.
What color is clean the look. Soffit? What color is the underside of the canopy?
It's white.
It's white.
John, that's very visible, those soffits. Do you want to see that as gray too?
I'm glad you asked the question, John. I'm glad you asked the question. I think the gray would probably look better to have the whole element be gray, the top and the soffit, and the fascia, because it also has a vertical fascia at the edge. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think the entire element would be in that dark gray. I think the white is difficult to keep clean. For absolutely. One, mm-hmm. You say it's a brighter look, but it's going to carry dust and show dirt over time. So I would say yes. And, I think the color scheme going to orange, on everything else that you're doing, we're not really going to comment because it's your signage and your brand. But I think the orange is going to brighten up that corner plenty. So I'm not worried about the darker gray for the roofs. Because that to me, that's architecture. You're no longer in the realm of your brand at that point. I think we really need to manage the appearance of architecture in the district.
Yeah, I'd like to back that up and say that in other areas of the country that I've visited, I've seen Dunkin' Donuts signs in wood and gold type of colors that are not on brand at all.
Even within our district, for the same company, even within our district.
Yeah, we've required that.
Yep. So there are exceptions made.
So are we saying this orange sign is an exception?
I was saying, we're making an exception that we're asking for the roofs to be gray and the pole to be gray because it's not part of their brand. It's architecture. If you want to talk about the color of their golf logo, I don't know that we can ask them to do a wood carved sign with gold leaf.
No, let's go. I think we're in a good spot, right?
Yeah.
I'd love to talk about that at the next business meeting.
Changing companies' logos?
If Dunkin' Donuts has to do a wood and gold leaf sign, why not golf? I don't see the difference here. The only reason that
I think what we did with Dunkin' Donuts in the district, David, was that it was not internally illuminated. I think we had them do a flat panel that was not internally illuminated. I don't think we monkeyed with their logo.
Yeah.
I think their logo is quite recognizable on their sign. We just made sure it wasn't internally illuminated.
I just wonder if it's, I mean, I'm not going to suggest that we do enforce any change. I'm just, I would like to recognize whether it is in really in our purview or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, the topic of signage can come up in our business meeting for sure.
Yeah,
and probably ought to be an agenda item, not specifically aimed at this application, but we can talk about it.
Has certainly been a bugaboo the whole time we've been on the.
Yep. So, is there any further discussion that Catherine, David, or John would like to have before we go to a motion? If not, I think we're ready for a motion.
David, go for it.
So we are. Are we going to remand to staff to approve the colors that we have outlined in this discussion?
I don't think we need to. I think we've selected a color from their standard list that's on the screen in front of us, the 07.
They said they weren't sure. I thought they said they weren't sure if Gulf would do it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that's a different story.
Right. We can approve something, and if the applicant wants to change that, they have to come back to staff and request what to do next.
Okay. Right.
They may have to come back to the commission.
They may have to come back to the commission if staff determines. So.
Okay. So we're approving with provisos then?
Yes.
Okay. I move we approve with provisos that we have made these changes to color.
And can we specify what the items are that are being changed?
That we would change the roof to dark gray and the pole to dark gray.
Okay. And the soffits of the roofs as well?
And the soffits of the roofs.
Okay. So motion, it's been, what's that?
I'm sorry, John, I need to ask a clarification question.
Yeah.
So the roof and the pole of the sign and the soffits, what about these supports underneath the roof? Are those okay to remain white?
As proposed, what are they currently? What's the existing color of those poles?
White, it appears.
I don't have as strong a feeling about those, but I guess I don't have as strong a feeling about them.
They're white, okay. But they appear to have been painted gray up to about a 5-foot level. Obviously somebody kept hitting them and smearing them.
That's probably a good reason to maybe stay with that. And it wouldn't interfere with the orange that's in the upper part of the poles. If the bottom 5 feet were gray and the rest of the pole went to white or remained white, the orange against white would still read.
All right, thank you.
Do you accept that amendment, David, to your motion?
So to maintain the look of the existing poles, we would have 5 foot of gray followed by white above that, the way it is now? Yep.
You would accept that amendment, okay?
I would.
And that has been seconded, right, Catherine?
Yep, seconded.
Okay, so we'll go to public comment at this point. Bear with me 1 second.
I'm not sure there's anybody left.
Yeah.
Roslyn seems to still be there, but.
Joe, would you still like me to read for public comment in case somebody wants to come in by some other means?
I think we're fine.
We're fine. So
yeah, I don't see any cats coming in.
Okay.
Yeah,
Mary or Gabby, do you see anything?
No.
Okay. Then I'm happy to go to a vote in that case. Catherine?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries.
Great.
So that's great. So we go to the next part of the agenda, which is, I'm sorry, am I looking at the agenda? I am.
So thanks, Gary and Matt. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our advisory review has to be postponed, so you can go straight to administrative review.
Okay, fantastic. So,
can I ask, on the administrative review, I thought I noticed one of the items had something about aluminum windows, which I was surprised by.
Could you note which one?
I have to go back and find it.
The second one replaces aluminum with aluminum. 14
yes.
Clarendon, is that it?
Yeah.
So the guidelines do allow for the replacement of aluminum windows in kind.
As long as they meet the historic proportions.
Correct.
Right.
Configuration.
Even if the old aluminum windows did not meet the historic profile, they have to replace them with ones that do.
Correct.
And we wouldn't want to have that come in for this board to review it?
I don't think so, because the material choice is already made and the configuration of the windows is already determined. So there isn't anything for us to interpret. Staff okay. can do that without our having to assist.
Okay.
The 671 Tremont is replacing aluminum with wood. Good for them.
Yeah. We don't always get to see that. So 617 Tremont, is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So anybody's ready to make a motion to approve, please go ahead.
I move we approve the administrative review.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Mary, okay. On these, we probably ought to, when you write it, just say when you're, like, for example, when you're replacing 2/1/1 vinyl windows with 2/2 double hung aluminum clad windows that meet the historic configuration.
Okay.
So it's not just in kind, because typically the vinyl windows are really, excuse me, that was an editorial comment.
Sure.
Uggy.
Right.
So it would just be good to have on the record that they're not just in kind.
Okay.
Right. So great. So we have a motion. It's been seconded. So Catherine?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries. And we're going to ratify minutes next. For two public hearings, it looks like.
Yes.
May 5th and June 2nd. Correct. Do we need to take them separately or can we take them as a group?
I think in the past we've taken them as a group.
Okay.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Okay.
She's invisible. How does she do that?
Oh, but I'm here.
Second.
Okay, it was seconded. I'll go for a vote. Catherine?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And the chair votes with the motion, so the motion carries.
Did you notice that when Catherine said yes, the room lit up?
Yeah.
I it did.
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't know. what you're doing over there, but
it turned blue.
It did. You saw that.
There are advantages to having these things.
I could go.
By Zoom.
Yes.
Okay, John. Touche. So,
just past my bedtime, I think.
Do we have any staff updates?
I'll just let you know. I'm going to be sending around a doodle poll to get everybody's availability for special hearing. To get availability for a special advisory review. So I will be sending out the doodle poll tomorrow. So that's coming your way. Those are my only
updates. Mary, I would suggest that you be a little strong in your language, if you don't mind, because we have to have a commitment to have the full commission there. Otherwise, we'll just keep postponing and it won't happen.
Understood. Will do.
Thanks. Put the hammer down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, are there any staff updates besides that? Any others? If not, then
I'll just say we're moving a little forward on our staff architect. So we're having final interviews this week and next week. So
great.
Oh, great.
Anything you can tell us?
Yes.
Are we going to be able to do a business meeting before that special meeting?
Well,
I suggest instead of a business meeting that we do an executive session? That's what we really want.
In
fact, our bylaws, as you all saw, doesn't say anything about business meetings, but it allows us to have an executive session. Mm-hmm.
So as long as we're legally able to do that, I'm fine with it. We have posed the question just to make sure that we're covered. So if we can do an executive session that way, it will be done that way. If not, it would be advertised.
I would just add on, it didn't see, our legal counsel didn't seem very positive about that idea.
We have to be able to talk about this stuff. We have to be able to talk about this stuff as a commission.
Yeah, and we all got quoted out of context.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I'm just telling you what the open meeting law interpretation is from our legal department. So,
well, then we better have commissioner training, because I've been a commissioner for 13 years and I didn't even know that we don't have to respond to these people. I mean, twice I've been put on the spot by individuals of the public. And I'm thinking, wow, I got to respond to these people. And I don't.
No,
but I
no,
never
no.
knew that. You know,
right.
I never knew
no.
that.
Right. So, Mary, I have another question that, speaking of legal counsel, has legal ever responded to the issue of meeting to discuss Tremont Street?
Yeah, that is something that we're still working on.
I would think that there would be some pressure coming from BTD to get that sorted out.
I'm sure there is. I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm sure they're very anxious. Still working on.
Well, you told me you would let me know when legal was interested in meeting and that you would invite me to be a part of that.
I did, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that something didn't already happen that I was unaware of.
Nothing has happened. It's just a matter of me getting my notes together and handing off what I have to legal. So something that we're all working on. And I just want to, before I forget, David, yes, I hear you about a business meeting. As soon as I get everyone's availabilities, I will do my best to make sure that that happens before we meet for the next special hearing.
Great.
That's the book.
Nice going, John.
You found it.
Woohoo!
That's the book that I found. Notice how thick it is. That was all policy stuff. And also,
was it printed with a dot matrix printer? Or
hi, Gabe.
A typewriter?
A lot of it's handwritten. Well, you saw how old some of those policy memos were. And actually, Michael Canizzo remembers it being remembers the book. He remembers it was a three-wing binder that sat on the preservation planner's desk at least until, and I can't remember who he said, the planner that was before Katie Reed. Who would that have been?
The planner would that have been before? Megan
or not Colleen?
Not Megan Richards.
Colleen?
What about Alexa?
Well, I remember Alexa writing policy memos.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't necessarily remember Megan. So it'd be worth asking who might be the last person to see it. I mean, my theory is it got taken into that scanning mess and lost forever.
Hmm.
Or when they moved from the 8th floor to the 7th floor, I think a lot of things got...
That could have been too.
Mary, do you remember we found those like two boxes of just like random cell phone documents and stuff? I threw them. It's, yeah, okay. Found like it's one page of notes, but it's not the policy thing we're looking for.
Okay.
Thank
you. Yeah.
All right. Well, my policy notes in this book were only things that I kept because I was interested in, and I sat down the other day and I tried to come up with a list of things that I remember there being policies about that weren't in the book. Many of which were landscape because I'm not interested in landscape. Sorry, John. No, I am, but I defer to John. So. You know, there were a lot of things. I mean, we have policies about front gardens, about garden fences, about curbs, and I know there were policy memos on many of those things. Mm-hmm. So I think recreating the list of policies that we had and need might be a good way to begin the business or meeting or executive session.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
Good night.
So I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Seconded. All in favor, just say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I think we're adjourned.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Gabby. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Good night. Bye.